Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston in the world. This is the month is July 24th edition of After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude.
What?
Hey, I got the day right.
It took you a while, though.
It was the month I was having trouble with.
Yeah, I noticed.
I didn't, couldn't remember what time of the month it was.
It's not that time of month.
I can be bitchy.
Oh, is it that time of the month already?
I'm always bitchy. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the longest-running producer of this show.
And I'm Wes Laverne, the newest co-executive producer of this show.
Bond's tied up in a long time.
Holy Christ.
Oh.
Are we talking about, what are we talking about bondage in there for?
Yeah, that was last week.
I mean, come on now, guys.
And in a couple more weeks after that.
Okay. So, how's everybody doing?
Well, I'm doing all right, I guess. A couple more days, and I'll be doing my grandiose move.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so, Lord.
New apartment.
Yep, new apartment. Looking for a body or two to help move some stuff, too.
Oh, look, good luck with that. That's when you find out where your real friends are.
Yeah.
Yeah, a real friend will... Yeah, a friend will move your apartment. A good friend will move a body.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, I just had a scare.
And your best friend will erase all the evidence off your hard drive if you get put in jail.
Good idea. And Chris, you?
Huh?
Your week?
Slow.
Oh.
And I... Ooh, boy.
What? What? What?
I got to double check the schedule. I think I've just triple booked us or something.
Oh, that's fine. You mean for next week?
No.
Oh.
No. Next week we're wide open.
I wouldn't go that far.
No, either. Because Lloyd and Robert Powell.
That's right.
Will be here next week.
Yes.
Judy's going to be interviewing them about their big anniversary shows. Yes, there's an S after that. They're doing two fundraiser shows.
Two, yes. For the price of one.
Because there's two of them.
Uh-huh.
And they've been together for, I don't know, how many years?
25 years.
25 years? Is it the 25th?
Yeah.
Wow. It's somewhere in here.
No, it isn't in there.
Yes, it should be.
I know it should be,
but
no, it isn't.
I've got it right here.
Oh, you do?
Yes,
it's in one of us. One of us has.
I've got it.
Okay. We'll be talking about that in a minute. I won't be here. I'm going to Canada, remember?
No, I don't remember that.
You told me.
Oh. I'm going to Canada. I'm going to Vancouver, Canada. No.
And what are you going to Vancouver for?
It's long and drawn out, but it has something to
do. Isn't anything in your life long and drawn out?
Well, yeah, that's true. It's kind of the last hurrah of Stan Lee's company, since Stan Lee was the company. His partner is giving a paper in Vancouver, and his partner is a statistician who deals in very high math, mm-hmm. the kind of high math that's theoretical.
So no one can check your answers.
Well, you know.
Einstein's dead. No one's checking your answers.
You know, I've looked over some of the stuff he's written, and there are words and symbols that I've never seen before. So I don't even understand the titles of his stuff. Anyway, he's presenting a paper as the last hurrah of Stan Lee's company, and it's a company trip, and I was invited to go. So, it's, you know, one of those things.
So maybe you'll get a chance to say, oh, Canada. Oh, Canada.
Oh, I'm going to be with Tom and Kathy Downs, Professor Downs and his wife, Kathy, who are very straight. And so, no, I will be, it will be just a touristy trip for me.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
We'll give you the links what to get there in Vancouver.
Don't bother. It's not going to happen. So, it's been a very slow week for me, too, because I'm just waiting for the estate to settle before I can go forward on the rest of my life.
But you... Strange. Of all the trips that Stanley's taken you on, usually it's to Hawaii, and now you're getting the last one out of him for going to Vancouver.
No, not really. I'm going to Hawaii next year in January by myself.
Really?
Staying in the same place. In fact, they were thrilled to hear that I was going to be there.
And yeah, but some people are not going to be thrilled.
Who?
It's those 16-year-olds who find your cigarettes you leave hidden around on the outside of the condo.
Well, I don't have to do that now.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. You don't have to hide them, so they're not going to be able to get them.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. You're not buying a pack of cigarettes, smoking three of them, and giving them to whoever around you needs to smoke.
Yeah. Well. Stanley did not know that I had started smoking again.
Even after you did it into his face.
What?
The one time you were... Little awe that you...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I was having seizures then, so that didn't count.
Ah.
Anyway, enough of that. Nobody understands that or cares. What they care about is the show that we're going to have tonight, 4 Hours of Queer Life, as we do every week. Did we get any MBB letters this week?
Yes, we did, actually. We did.
From whom?
We have one from one that wrote us last week, Deep Cover wrote us again.
Okay.
And I don't know if you'll remember this one or not, Jimmy, but this one says he used to listen to the show 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And found us again last night.
Ooh.
Well, not last night. Well, last week.
Yeah.
And he used to write to us back in 05, 06.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Where's his name at? Damn it. It's on here somewhere. Hold on a second. He gave a nickname. He gave a nickname in here.
Okay.
Here we go. Rock Hard Williams.
Whoa. Rock Hard Williams.
So
wow.
When we read that later, maybe you'll remember him.
I want everyone to know that I do not throw any of these letters away. I have every letter that any MBB has ever sent us.
Yes.
And eventually they will go to the museum.
So... But yes, we did end up with two of them this week.
Good.
So we'll read those a little bit later on in the show.
Rock Hard Williams, huh?
Yeah, you'll probably remember them after I read the letter.
How could I forget?
You probably do remember them already.
Anyway, so we'll be doing those a little bit later. We've got Gigi, who's here tonight. We're going to be talking about bisexual issues. And whatever else comes up.
I don't prefer to buy my sex. I prefer to have it free.
Well, that was a BI.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Gigi started here in 1994 doing the buy segment. it was the first time that we know of that there was a bisexual segment on radio in the United States. A regularly scheduled one.
We're kind of pioneers.
We are.
Go figure.
We did the same thing with...
And not just because Jimmy did Davy Crockett.
No. We were the second radio station in the nation that we know of to do a regularly scheduled transgender segment.
I thought we were first on that.
No, second. There was one short-lived prior to us. And I have been in contact with a biggie in the transgender community, Josephine Titsworth, and she is looking. I told her that, you know, we had lost our segment, and so she's...
I'm sorry, we're children. We have to laugh at that one.
She's out there looking for transgender hosts for a new transgender segment. So that was one of our best segments ever over the years.
That, you know, Chris, that probably would have just, like, rolled right off my back, but you had to sit there and laugh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And if Josephine walked in here, she could beat the crap out of both of you with one hand. Let me tell you.
Like I said, it would have just rolled right off my back. Uh-huh. I would have never paid it any mind. I mean, I heard the name. And
I know.
But it was just like, because Chris had to laugh.
I'm sure she's used to that.
So
I'm sure she's used to that.
That was I have to say it was an interesting name.
Yes.
Don't you think that's why she picked that name?
It's probably why she picked that name. That's right. Well, actually, I imagine that the last name was probably her...
Kicksworth. And the transition. I'm sorry I had to go there.
Oh, my God. I hope she's not listening. We'll never get a transgender host.
Oh, goodness gracious me.
Okay, boys.
Hey, we got to have a little bit of fun, you know.
But after we get through with this foolishness, we've got Theater Suburbia here tonight, and they've got their cast of nines to... Well, it's not thousands this year.
Not this year.
No. For their summer melodrama.
Oh, is it that time
something
already?
Something everyone looks forward to. That is the most fun show that they do. That's, you know, the villain wears all black with a top hat and cape, and you throw popcorn at him and hiss and boo. And
kind of like the old black and white.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, cheer the hero. And
woohoo!
Oh, it's great. It's great fun. So they'll be here, and they'll be, you know, telling us what that show is about and doing a couple of excerpts from it. It's called Only an Orphan Girl, or Wretchedly Wronged by the Rotten.
Oh, my.
Isn't it a great subtitle?
Oh, my.
Oh, boy. I'm looking forward to that.
I bet you are.
Yeah. So, Chris, what have you got?
Oh, I'm sorry. On Sunday.
Sunday.
July 25th at the BRB, at starting at 7 p.m., Eresus is doing the good old Southern Gospel Meets the Church at the Neon Cactus.
No kidding.
Hosted by Kimberly Ann O'Neill. Next week on the 30th at 11:30 over at Chances will be the King of Kings Contest Preliminaries, hosted by Chris Volk.
Before you go to your next one, I almost forgot something. I have been asked by Brian Levinka to be a guest on Queer Voices Monday night.
Uh-oh. They want that show.
I don't know why. I don't know what we're really going to talk about, but he just asked if I would be a guest.
Well, so, why not? He's been a guest on our show.
Yeah. So, 9 o'clock. I'm the first one up. First one out of the chute. I guess.
There's something unusual.
Yeah, usually he gets the seconds out of the chute.
But, of course, what is that? That would be the 24th.
No, today's the 24th.
It would be the 26th.
Which would be
Queer Music
the
Heritage.
Fourth Monday of the month. So that's Queer Music Heritage. So I don't know. So they're only going to have interviews for the first hour, and then J.D. Doyle's Queer Music
Queer Music Heritage Show.
Yes, will be on from 9 from 10 to 11. Queer Voices heard every Monday night from 9 until 11 right here on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM.
Hatch is hosting a film festival.
Yes, they are, and it's got incredible titles of classics.
There'll be two films shown every Tuesday afternoon in room 101 of the GLBT Cultural Center, 401 Bernard.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking down on here, there's... Oh, this starts at noon. There's popcorn, hot dogs, soft drinks every Tuesday from noon to 5. This week on the 27th, it'll be Philadelphia and Desert Hearts.
Wow, two classics.
August 3rd, look forward to Torch Song Trilogy and Debs.
Wow.
August 11th, and the band played on in Better Than Chocolate. 17th of August, Transamerica and In and Out. 24th, Amy and Jaguar. Ooh. And followed by La Cage Falls.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, that's what the Birdcage stole from.
Mm-hmm.
Bring your glasses, there'll be subtitles.
Yes.
It's French.
Yeah.
Show begins at noon, short introduction and follow-up by Murphy, former director of the Houston Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. And for more information, this is open to Hatch and Spry. For more information, you can go to, I guess, hatchyouth.com or .org or mm-hmm. Spry.
Yeah.
Or something over at the Cultural Center.
Okay.
Masquerade Theater is just started up their production of Rent.
Whoa.
Yeah, and these aren't the cast members that are in the show, I don't think. Because I caught someone who's supposedly in the play, and he's not mentioning that he's in it, so.
And I haven't heard back from him either.
Ah, so you called him on it?
I called him on it.
Yeah, I may have to slip that onto... I did research on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And I poked around and...
As he is wont to do.
Yeah, I'm not used to poking.
He's getting used to Facebook now.
He's getting used to poking, too.
Yeah, I'm running 1.5 Facebooks right now.
I'm afraid to ask what that means.
I'm halfway doing ours, and I've started one for the Big Men's Club.
Oh, okay.
But Rent by the Masquerade Theater is going to be starts July 22nd, goes through August 1st. This is over at the Hobby Center, Zilka Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Performances are Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Zilka Hall, wow.
Yeah. The Sunday performance is at 2 p.m., Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The performance is at 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
For more information, you can go to masqueradetheater.com. Please remember, it's the highfalutin spelling,
yep.
R-E, or go to thehobbycenter.org.
So, the information you have is that somebody is in the play that ran for...
Some sort of libation you associate with a horse race.
Oh, okay.
Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Really confuse the people.
Yeah.
A recently sash queen...
Yes.
Who's more known for... A collar now goes to a sash.
Did he win?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I know. Yeah.
They didn't announce the winner.
That's how I found it. When I was poking around, and I found the picture, and he's with that green sash.
Oh.
And then I poked around a little more, and poked and poked and poked. You keep this up, and I'll have to change my name to Pokey Anderson.
Oh, goodness.
It's so rare that you're doing the poking.
I know, isn't it? He's usually the one getting poked.
Yeah.
Well, that ain't been happening lately, so, you know, versatility is the mother of invention,
yeah,
or desperation.
One or the other.
Softball fundraisers at Tony's Corner. There's one left.
There's only one left.
Softball fundraiser. You didn't...
sorry.
Saturday, July 31st, from 9 p.m. to midnight, there will be a mega 50-50 drawing, for raffle drawing, drink specials, jello shots out of syringes.
Ooh.
Raffles with exciting prizes and spiked lemonade. This all happens over at Tony's Corner Pocket.
I hope they take the needles off.
Well, 817 West
Depends
Dallas.
On how you want your jello shot.
Whoa. House of Diva at House of Blues. A benefit performance for and by the Bayou City Performing Arts.
Ooh.
This opens on August 1st at 7 p.m. Some of our favorite diva-inspired hits, all-star drag performances, the Gay Men's Chorus, small ensembles, amazing solos, a $5 suggested donation to the door. This is over at the House of Blues, 1204 Caroline, here in Houston.
And I'm going to be out of town. Damn it.
Studs and Spuds, Tater Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Is that sour cream coming out of him into the potato?
Oh. I'm afraid to ask.
It's a fundraiser benefiting the Tyler Goolsbee Scholarship Fund. Come out and enjoy hot cowboys and baked taters with all the fixings for $5. Ooh, you get the cowboy for $5 too?
I don't think so.
And I always wondered how they got that bulge in their tight jeans. It's the tater.
All meat, no taters.
No, wow.
Or no, all taters and no meat. That's what it
means. It's on the first Tuesday of the month over at the Brazos River Bottom.
First Tuesday of every month.
From 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., hosted by Mr. BRB 2010, Craig Sanford, and the Lone Star Lariats.
Good. I'm glad to see them do that kind of stuff again. The BRB used to do that a lot.
Make sure you wear your tater in the front. It is the Brazos River Bottom, but make sure the tater goes in the front.
Okay.
All right. And then on Sunday. August 1st, starting at 7:30 p.m. over at the BRB, where you put your tater in the front, which is at 2400 Brazos, Aaron Patterson presents Chaos for Chaos Continued. Chaos being the Kimberly Ann O'Neill Scholarship, Believe in a Dream Scholarship Fund, hosted by none other than Kimberly Ann O'Neill with special guest MCs.
Judy's not there. Oh. She's looking for a couch.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Oh, what the hell? This looks all messed up.
Oh.
Which one is it?
Yes, that is Mr. Playboy Reject.
Oh, is it that time already? On.
Well, you see, it's you know, I want to promote this, but the thing that they send has all these graphics that flash on and off.
Yeah.
And so when you go to print it, you don't get any of the flashing graphics.
Okay.
And I've told them about it because it's almost worthless. It's hard for us to promote their stuff when we can't get it printed.
Yeah. So this is the Bunny Reject Show?
It's the man who won.
Oh, okay.
The Mr. Bunny
Playboy
Reject
Bunny
Show.
Reject.
Yes.
2010.
Is putting on this show at the BRB.
On Friday, August 6th at 10 p.m. Open to all performers.
And it's a benefit show.
I can't even read who it's benefited.
Yeah. God.
All right, we'll see what we can figure out.
I see AIDS Trouble Fund in there.
Okay.
So, that's all
we'll
I can
work
read.
On getting something.
1245's AIDS Trouble Fund.
So, let's see. Then, let's see here. On Saturday, August the 7th, from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., is the day casino bus trip to Coushatta.
Oh, yeah.
So, come join the Reese's as they do their second annual day trip to Coushatta. They'll leave at 10 a.m. and arrive at Coushatta around 1. Spend about 4 hours there gambling, drinking, oh Lord, there goes the town,
ooh,
eating at the buffet and having a great time before we jump back on the bus and head back to Houston to be home around 8 p.m. to hit the bars.
Well, there'll be more drinking on the bus.
While on the bus, our hosts Royce Wood, Natasha Cole Siebert, and Craig W. Ray will provide snacks, they misspelled that,
ooh,
and entertainment. There's a Drag in the Bag show in the aisles coming up. And we promise that we'll keep everyone in stitches. So get your tickets now because seats are limited. Tickets are up to $40 now.
Yeah.
So
that's still cheap.
Yeah. You can reserve your seating and make payments to Reese's through their reign treasurer, Royce Wood, at rcwood3hou@yahoo.com.
What? What was that email?
The email address, rcwood, number 3.
Is that with the number?
The numeral 3.
The numeral 3.
Oh, I thought you was like number 3.
No. The numeral 3.
Okay.
rcwood3hou.
Okay.
At Yahoo.
I can't hit those high notes like you do.
Squeeze his nuts for him.
Squeeze your own nuts. Keep it up and we'll play that song.
Ah! All right. Moving on.
Please. Either squeeze or crush your nuts. I forget which one's on there.
I don't want either one.
Smack your nuts.
Enough about the nuts.
Speaking of music.
Speaking of our friends Robert Kahn and Lloyd Powell.
Yes.
Celebrating their 25th anniversary. Two shows, one night on Saturday, August 14th. Live, love, and never look back. First show is over at Tony's Corner Pocket at 8 p.m., mm-hmm. hosted by Miss Regina Dane.
Ooh.
And their second show over at the Ripcord at 11 p.m., hosted by Don Duke Cook.
Wow.
All proceeds are to benefit the Omega House.
They got the big guns out for this one.
Yep. And let's see here, Kindred Spirits celebration of their 30th anniversary
mm-hmm.
on August 28th, 2010, from 7:30 p.m. to 1 a.m., taking place over at the SPJST Lodge at 1435 Beale Street. $20 tickets in advance, $25 at the door.
Okay.
Select tables are available in a limited. Bleh. Please visit Kindred Spirits of kindredspiritshouston.org for more information. And
we don't have to do that one.
I was going to say, what the hell is this? Mm-hmm.
That's something I had from last week.
Okay.
When we had time, we did it. Okay. Time to bring on Theater Suburbia. So why don't we go? Speaking of music, what did we start out with?
We started off. I just pulled an oldie out of the bag so I could get things rolling in here. I was a little bit late getting started doing Go West by the Pet Shop Boys.
Mm.
And then one that that you've ran across and I listened to and Chris didn't much care for.
I didn't listen to it before the show started. I forgot about it when I got home and was busy watching other things on my computer.
Mm.
I bet you were. I know what you were watching, too.
Did he get naked?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll talk later.
Okay.
He's got screenshots.
Okay.
Shh, he doesn't know that.
I do now.
Not you.
Oh. At any rate, the second song was by an artist named Flint Michigan.
Uh-huh. No, that's the name of the band.
Or the band, whatever.
Flint Michigan, right?
Flint.
No, Clint.
Clint Michigan.
Okay.
Doing Hawthorne to Henpen. Interesting name.
I think that's the name of a town.
Probably. I have no idea.
Yeah.
That's what we started the show with.
Okay.
So we'll go ahead and throw in a piece by Mark Weigel.
Good. Yes. We don't play enough Mark Weigel.
I like him. He does good. I'm gonna play Out by Mark.
Okay.
So here's Out.
Something important to say. I know you didn't plan for me turning out this way, but you didn't fail me, Mama, and I don't love you any less, 'cause for me it's just a matter of what suits me best. Yeah, it's hard for you to take. It's nothing you would brag when your firstborn turns out to be. Papa, oh Papa, did I spoil your dreams? I know you wanted to see me marching in the Marines. Well, that won't prove my manhood, as it didn't prove yours, 'cause I went to talk to that landlord while you stood behind the door with her hair, calling me crazy. But I think it's out of fear, 'cause you're not so sure that you are. that has happened to me someday happens to you. Will you try to grin and bear it? Will you hate yourself inside it? Will you walk with me in the sunshine? Cause there's really nothing to hide. Cause there are all kinds of people who happen to be this way. And there's really nothing wrong with being where did you want to be? Nothing wrong with being, you know it's okay. Nothing wrong with being gay. Faster I will run. You can deny me. You can decide to turn your face away. No matter, 'cause there's something inside so strong. I know that I can make it. Though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone. Oh no,
oh no.
There's something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong. Something inside so strong. Oh, oh.
The more you refuse to hear my voice, the louder I will sing.
I will sing.
The more the more I want
everything.
Deny my place in time. You squander wealth that's mine.
My light will shine
so brightly it will blind you.
Blind you. But there's something inside so strong. Oh, I know that I can make it. Though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone.
Oh no,
oh no, there's something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong. Oh no, something inside so strong.
Brothers and sisters, when they insist we're just not good enough.
Not good enough.
We're gonna do it anyway.
Say,
we're gonna do it anyway.
Say,
we're gonna do it anyway.
Say,
we're gonna do it anyway.
Cause there's
something inside so strong. Oh, I know that I can make it. Though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone.
Oh, no.
Something so strong. It's so.
etched it on my locker and I carved it on my desk. And I painted big red hearts with her initials on my books. And I never knew till later why I got those funny books. She was a big time woman, the first to come along, that showed me being female but just still could be strong. And though graduation meant that we had to part, she'll always be a player on the ball field of my heart. Well, in gym class, while the others talked of boys that they loved, I'd be thinking of new aches and pains a teacher had to rub. And while other girls went to the prom, I languished by the phone, calling up and hanging up if I found out she was home. She was a big time woman, the first to come along, that showed me being female meant you still could be strong. And though graduation meant that we had to part, she'll always be a player on the ball field of my heart. I sang her songs by Johnny Mathis. I gave her everything. A new chain for her whistle and some daisies in the spring. Some suggestive points for Christmas by Miss Edna Millay. And a lacy, lacy, lacy card for Valentine's Day. Unsigned, of course. She was a big time woman. Sticks to teacher like a leaf sticks to a tree. One girl who runs the errands and who chases all the balls. One girl who may grow up to be the gayest of all.
Okay,
yeah.
Some interesting music there.
Yeah, a little bit.
That last one we have not played in a very, very long time. And that was?
That was the best, let's see, what do we got here? Oh, yeah, Meg Christian doing
Ode to a Gym Teacher. Yes. That's from some very, very early women's music on the Olivia label before they were... an ocean-going company.
Olivia Cruises?
Yes.
Yeah.
The record company kind of went out of business, and they became the cruise company. I don't know. And what did we have before that?
Before that, we did the Flirtations doing Something Inside So Strong.
That's another one we played in the early years of this show.
And then we started the whole set off with Mark Weigel, like I said, doing Out.
Uh-huh. That's a little bit newer, a lot newer. Anyway, Theater Suburbia is here.
Yay.
Hey, Judy.
Hi, Judy.
How you doing?
We got a whole crowd in here.
You
tonight.
Do.
We don't have a cast of thousands for this one, but we do have a cast of almost 10.
Oh.
I was going to say, it's...
We can't make enough noise for a cast of thousands.
Uh-huh.
Looks like we're down to standing room only.
It works. We have Director Doris here.
Doris. Hi, Doris.
How you doing, honey?
I'm tired.
Chase
keeping these children.
Are you just tired or are you sick and tired?
No. Oh. Keeping these children all together, yeah.
I've had these people for about 6 weeks now.
Okay, and you're over it.
You usually have to carry them 9 months.
I got five more to go.
So tell, let's hear about this.
Well, it's called Only an Orphan Girl, or Wretchedly Wrong by the Rotten.
I love that subtitle.
Actually, this is the third time in so many years that we've done this show. But this is one of the few that I have not directed until now.
Oh, I thought you directed all of them.
Well, pretty much, but I missed out the other two times, fortunately. And you weren't there last night, so you don't know a darn thing about it.
No, I don't.
Shame on you. Anyway, it opened last night on the 23rd, and it runs, or was it 2 days ago? It runs through the 28th of August on Friday and Saturdays. We have Sunday matinees on August the 1st, the 8th, the 15th, and the 22nd.
Okay.
And, of course, it's at 4106 Way Out West, which is between West 43rd and Old Hempstead Highway, just off of 290, so it's real easy to get to.
Okay. Is the popcorn still three bags for a dollar?
The popcorn is there, and the dastardly villain is there.
Uh-huh.
He came back again this year. He says it's his last year, but we can
Didn't
only
you say
hope.
That last year?
And our telephone number is 713-682-3525.
What is a melodrama without Glenn as the villain?
I don't know. We probably have somebody else.
Can I talk anytime?
No, that's true. Anyway, beginning now.
You have to get permission from Doris and Judy.
Listen, I have to get permission from Doris to scratch my head.
We have a...
And maybe other parts.
We're on the air.
I know, but it's KPFT, right?
They had their limits.
Anyway, our website, www.theatersuburbia.com, is now going to be theatersuburbia.org.
Oh, good.
Lars Schleck put together a really fabulous new website.
No kidding.
You can still get to it if you do the .com, but it's really great, and everybody hopefully will check it out. She's got a lot of information on there, and it looks really good.
I didn't know she did that stuff.
Oh,
she's very good at it.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot of my pictures on there, too.
And you didn't talk to Laura about that?
What?
All his pictures?
No, well, that come later.
Oh, okay.
Do we have time for the cast to introduce themselves?
We have plenty of time,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. Now you can talk.
5 seconds, that's all you get.
See what I mean?
Okay, mm-hmm. Four. Next. Three.
I'm Glenn Dodson. I'm playing Arthur Rutherford, the villain.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my 10th year, so... I'm well practiced.
Typecasting.
And the new website really is nice. I hope everybody will check it out.
Oh, you bet.
I'm Courtney Ferguson, and I'm playing the Widow Appleby.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Susan Palmgren O'Connor, and I'm playing Ma Perkins.
You can pull that mic out.
She can also pull up like I asked her to.
Oh, okay.
Because the mic didn't stay up, see?
Judy, quit pulling
my
on the mic.
My name is Laura DeBellis, and my character's name is Nellie. And oh, I'm the heroine.
Oh,
yeah. I didn't think about that.
My name is Jeff Henninger, and I play Swim Perkins. I'm the father of the of the hero and of the of Nellie.
Well, that sounds interesting.
Yes.
Never mind.
Nellie.
I won't finish.
Okay.
Well, Nellie is my adopted daughter.
Oh. You have to be clear here.
Yeah. Boy, it was almost I another kind
Donna
of play.
I am Donna Dixon, and I play Ethel Rutherford, and I am the villain's wife.
Oh.
That's right.
More typecasting.
He has a wife in this one? My God.
And I am Tom Hazel. This is my first year at Theater Suburbia, and I play the hero, Dick Perkins.
Yay!
Yay!
I'm Callie Rose Vasquez. I play Lucy, the Widow Appleby's little daughter. I'm the little blue-haired one.
She is. She tells the truth.
Who are we missing?
She is.
I'm just Haig.
Okay.
These guys deserve all the credit. Hey, I don't really do anything.
Oh,
he helps change the set, and he sings at the Olios.
That's a lot.
I know.
And he always drives me when we come down here.
So we have a new hero this year, don't we?
Yeah.
Where'd you get this cutie from?
Down girl.
I don't know, he showed up. His mother sent him to me.
I see. And I noticed that he needed an escort to get to this show.
And a babysitter while he's here. I see y'all.
I need to go grab my bib. I'll be right back.
Yeah. Okay, well, we can still talk about it. Can you tell us a little bit about the play?
Well, it's your typical melodrama. The bad guy tries to get the heroine and steal all the money and do all the bad things and tries to do away with her, blow her up, take her to the sawmill.
Ooh.
There's a little bit of everything in it.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it is. It does. It's a lot of fun. And, of course, there's popcorn for throwing at the villain and booing and hissing.
Okay, is that still three bags for a dollar?
Two for a dollar?
Two for a dollar. Okay.
You know, that's probably a good idea. I think I'll change the price. I'm losing money. Anyway, if you got time, we'll just read a little bit for you.
We got plenty of time.
Okay.
Actually,
we
got about 4 minutes.
Actually, you got 2 minutes.
Let's talk.
Well, Doris, tell us the date again and give us a phone number again. Okay. So we got 2 minutes.
713-682-3525. Mm-hmm. And it is 24-hour answering service. We also, as usual, have the 2-for-1 special. If you tell us
you
heard it on KPFT, you get buy one, get one free.
Yeah, I love that.
And while we got a minute, we are having auditions tomorrow for the Philadelphia Story.
Oh, man.
Which is the first show that was done at the old location back 49 years ago.
Wow.
We're coming into our 50th season.
Oh, wow.
And we hope to have a big fancy gala on the opening weekend. And that show will have Elvin directing, so he'll have to come in here next time and talk.
Ooh. How come he's shaking his head? The director has to talk.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Anyway, hopefully we're hoping to have a big opening and try to get a lot of the people that were there that are still alive, I should say, in the early days.
Hello.
And people that have just been connected for a long time over the years.
Oh, I bet it'll be a packed house.
We hope so.
Jimmy will be there.
Hope it'll be a packed house every night for that. And for the melodrama.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun. Bring the family. It's good for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And adults, too. They like to throw popcorn.
Okay, now tell us where this is located, where the theater is.
4106.
Way out west Drive. Which is
not that far out. It's just off of 290 and 43rd, between the old 43rd and Old Hempstead Highway.
Right. So if you take, like, think of the intersection of 43rd and Hempstead.
If you're coming out 290, you take the 43rd Bingle Pinemont exit.
Mm-hmm.
You go left under the freeway on 43rd.
Because Way Out West kind of like triangulates.
Like you're Way Out West, but it really isn't. We're actually 5 miles farther from the old theater.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really not that much farther.
Okay, and Way Out West would like make a triangle. If
it goes between 43rd over to Hempstead.
Yeah.
Actually, it was named, there was a Way Out West boot shop, western shop on Hempstead, and I think that's why they named the street that.
Okay, we have to take a couple of minutes and put a little something in your ear and do an ID, and we'll be right back.
Okay, thanks.
Nepal is a small landlocked country where communist revolution is changing everything. People are rising up against kings, castes, and imperialism. Women are rising to lead. The revolution is spreading into surrounding India. In May and June of 2010, Eric Rebelarsi traveled to Nepal to report on these events. Join the Fire Collective of Houston for a presentation entitled The Mountains Tremble, a report back from the revolution in Nepal, on Monday, August 2nd at 7:30 p.m. at the Houston Institute for Culture at 708C Telephone Road. Eric Rebelarsi's presentation will tell the story of this revolution, the current situation in Nepal, and feature video and photography from his journey. Again, that event happens Monday, August 2nd at 7:30 p.m. at the Houston Institute for Culture at 708C Telephone Road. For more information, visit www.thefirecollective.org. This is KPFT Houston. The 4th Annual Christmas in July will be held Saturday, July 24th at Bricker Street Park, 8000 Rock Rose Street from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Sponsored by the End Time Movement, FMBC, and KPFT, the event is a positive summer concert to motivate youth in this area. Organizers will give away free school supplies to all kids in attendance. Again, the 4th Annual Christmas in July will be held Saturday, July 24th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Bricker Street Park, 8000 Rock Rose Street. For more info or to donate school supplies, call Curtis Green at 832-785-0398 or email acommunityaffair@hotmail.com. This is KPFT Houston, Texas.
And you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston. As always, www.kpft.org. And back to Theater Suburbia.
Ah, the farmyard at last. How good it is to smell new mown hay. To hear the cows lowing in the pasture. And the chickens clucking in the farmyard. It almost makes me feel like a country lass again, pure and innocent. I have been told the people here are looking for a boarder. If they will take me, I shall stay until I have forgotten my unhappy marriage to Arthur Rutherford. I wonder if Arthur is dead. It has been 4 years since I heard from him. At any rate, he is dead to me. Someone comes. 'Tis a young Hercules of the hayfields. He at least knows no taint of the debilitating effects of city life. How happy I could be with such a one. Good afternoon, young sir.
Afternoon, ma'am. Please, don't call me sir. I'm just plain Dick Perkins, the farmer's son, at your service.
Ah, how I wish that were true. Is Mrs. Perkins your mother?
She is, and a finer mother man has never had.
Looking at you, I can well believe it. How handsome he is. I was told she wished a boarder.
I'm sure she'd be honored to have you, ma'am. Will you step inside?
I think I'll look around the place first. Will you accompany me?
Well, I'd like to, ma'am. But as you know, a farmer is busy from dawn to dusk. Here's my adopted sister, Nellie. This lady wishes to become a boarder. Will you show her to her room?
With pleasure.
Perhaps I shall see you later. Come, girl.
That lady is certainly a beautiful lady. But what are town-bred graces to me, compared to the fresh loveliness of Nellie, the orphan girl, whose fair form is matched with even fairer spirit within?
Well, I'm all tidied up. Now all I can do is wait. Why, there's somebody coming up the lane. It's Mr. Perkins!
What's that, Lucy?
Mr. Perkins is back.
Land sakes, so he is. Pa!
Howdy, Mother. You'll be glad to hear I did well in the city. Sold all my crops to one feller for $700. Enough to pay off the whole mortgage and leave $200 over.
Oh, I'm so happy. Widow Appleby will be here after a bit when she comes for Lucy. You can give her the money then.
She'll get her money at midnight on Christmas Eve, when it's due, and not 1 second before. Fetch the coffee pot, Mother. I want to see all this money safe before I unhitch old Dobbin.
I'll get it, Pa. I'll get it.
Well, Lucy, have you been a good girl?
Oh, yes, Mr. Perkins. Miss Perkins and Miss Nellie are so kind to me that I try to help them in every way I can.
That's right, Lucy. That's right. Here's a penny for you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Perkins. Here's a big kiss for you.
Mwah. You're a sweet girl, Lucy. How the kiss of a pure child warms even the sternest heart.
Here's the coffee pot, Pa.
Thank you, Mother. It'll be safe there. Guess no thief would calculate to find $700 in that thing. Put it in the kitchen, Mother, whilst I go down to the stable and unhitch old Dobbin.
See what Mr. Perkins gave me?
That's just like Paul. He seems stern, Lucy, but underneath he's got the kindest heart in the county.
I wish I had a coffee pot to put my money in.
Well, Lucy, there's one down by the barn you can have.
May I? You are so kind to me.
Bless the child. Always so sweet-tempered and grateful. Her pa in heaven must be proud of her.
I observed a carriage drive up. Perhaps the old farmer has returned. But I must speak to Nellie first. Ah, 'tis the girl herself. And not looking bad, either. Cad, even without the money, she would be a tempting morsel. but no, I must not think of that. It's money I want. Money. And if she's not the one, I shall have to concoct some kind of proof that my niece is dead. In which case, I shall be my brother's heir as next of kin. And little I'll worry about the poorhouse brat. now to play the part of a lover smitten by Cupid's arrow. Good afternoon, Miss Nellie. Pardon me for taking the liberty, but I just dropped by to exchange a few words with your father.
Daddy has but this moment returned from the city. I shall tell him that you wish to see him.
One moment. I'm in no hurry. I would enjoy a brief conversation with you first. Besides, you may be able to settle a point upon which I had an argument the other day. I was told that Farmer Perkins is not your real father. Is this true?
It is. Daddy has been as kind to me as if I were his own child, but there is no bond of blood between us.
And do you know who your real parents were?
Alas, no. Nor have I anything of theirs, save for the locket which hangs about my neck.
I know a great many people. Perhaps if I might examine the locket.
Of course. The picture it contains is that of a lady I believe to have been my mother.
Aha! Certainty at last. 'Tis Horace's poor wife, all right. And this girl is really his daughter and heiress to that million. Now all I have to do is win the little fool for my bride or put her out of the way. I must gain my brother's fortune, either as his son-in-law or as his heir, and it's little I care which. Miss Nellie, I have something else to say to you. Can you not guess what my business with Farmer Perkins is? I wish to ask his permission to my calling upon you.
I do not understand you, Mr. Rutherford.
Then I shall make my meaning clearer. Nellie, I have met you comparatively few times, but the few times I have met you have been sufficient to convince me that I prefer your society to that of any other woman I've ever known. Nellie, I love you, and I want you to promise to become my wife.
You want me to be your wife? Why, Mr. Rutherford, you are a total stranger to me.
Not a stranger, Nellie. Do not say that. Perhaps I've been a trifle premature, but believe me, I love you nonetheless. Won't you promise to be my wife?
I can make no such promise, Mr. Rutherford. I have no thought of marriage.
Ah, but you must think of it. I'm wealthy. Consider the advantages I could afford you. Fine clothing shall deck your body. Diamonds shall sparkle in your ears. Pearls shall hang about your milky white throat. Just give me hope that you will one day be mine.
Mr. Rutherford, you have no right to talk like this to me.
Yes, I have the right. My love for you gives me that right.
Do not speak another word of love to me. I will call Daddy. Daddy! Daddy!
You shall not call anyone. You shall listen to me.
Shall? What right have you to command me?
The right of love, Nellie. But tell me, do you love someone else?
Mr. Rutherford, you go too far.
Never.
Release me.
Never.
Say, mister, that's no way you treat a lady.
Curse you.
Curse me if you like.
How dare you interfere?
A real man would dare anything, mister, rather than see a lady mistreated.
I shall be even with you for this. And as for you, my little country lass, how dare you repulse me? I am a gentleman.
Miss Nellie knows better than that, mister. No gentleman ever threatens a lady. Let us leave him.
Curse you both. I shall have my revenge. Never fear, I shall have my revenge.
Nigh on to 4:30. I'm pretty late. Wonder where Lucy is. Howdy, stranger.
An ignorant hayseed. I'll sound her out and see if she knows anything. Good afternoon, Mrs.
Appleby. Amy Appleby.
Appleby. That fatal name. My sister-in-law was an Appleby. Can this woman be related to her? If so, she must not suspect who I am. I was, just admiring this splendid farm.
It's a fine place. 100 acres of the best soil in Texas. I ain't afeared for my money, no siree.
Your money? Why, I thought Mr. Perkins owned this farm.
So he does. But I hold the mortgage on it for $500. Of course, the place is worth a heap more.
And when is the mortgage due?
Not till Christmas Eve, dang it. And Swim Perkins ain't one to pay before, not even if he's got the money. Wished he would, though, because old Jones owns the place next to mine, is offering to sell his 40 acres. And if I can't buy him in a day or so, somebody else is sure to snap him up.
I see. And what brings you here, Mrs. Appleby?
Well, by cricky, I plumb forgot Lucy. Lucy's my little gal. I leave her here with Miss Perkins when I have to spend a day in the village. Excuse me, Mr. City Feller, but I got to go looking for her. Lucy! Lucy!
So Mrs. Appleby, who may be the fair Nellie's aunt, holds a mortgage on this farm. There must be some way to turn that to account. But how? How?
Well, I found the coffee pot. It's rusted pretty bad. But I guess it'll still hold a penny. Yes, it will.
Aha! The Appleby brat. I shall approach her. Good afternoon, little girl.
Good afternoon.
What are you doing, my child?
Hiding my money where to be safe.
No, it'll hardly be safe there.
Yes, it will, too. Mr. Perkins hides his money in a coffee pot. And if it's safe for his $700, it's safe for my penny.
$700? Did you say $700?
Yes, sir. He got it today for selling his crops.
$700 in a coffee pot? And the mortgage is only $500? Arthur, my boy, you're in luck. And, where does Mr. Perkins keep his coffee pot?
I don't think I'd better tell.
Come, my dear. The information will be safe with me. Besides, I'll give you another penny. See?
Maybe I shouldn't.
Nonsense. You know you can trust me. And, certainly there can be no harm in earning an honest penny in this economy.
Give me the penny first.
Not till you tell.
Well, he keeps it in the kitchen.
Here, take your penny.
There you are, Lucy. Where in Tunket you been?
Mrs. Appleby, I've been thinking over what you told me about the mortgage on this place and the farm you wish to buy, and, may I safely confide in you, madam?
You may.
You see before you a man smitten by the tender passion. I love Mr. Perkins' adopted daughter.
Don't blame you. Miss Nellie's a right purty gal.
She is. But alas, today I made the mistake of declaring my feelings prematurely. She spurned me, and I must do something to persuade her into giving me another chance.
Calculate you will.
Now, she wouldn't take a present.
Nope. Miss Nellie's too well brung up a gal to take presents from a feller she ain't engaged to.
True, but I could win her esteem and gratitude by purchasing the mortgage on this place from you and presenting it to her adopted father.
But it's $500.
Money means little to me, Mrs. Appleby. Well, what do you say?
I don't know as I ought to sell without telling Swim first.
And spoil a pleasant surprise? Think, Mrs. Appleby. If you sell, everyone benefits. Mr. Perkins gets his mortgage back. I win the sympathy of Nellie through my generosity. And you will be enabled to purchase old Jones's 40 acres and add them to your farm.
It's a dicker. Here's the mortgage. Where's the $500?
I left my purse in the house. Wait here. I shall return in a moment.
Well, Lucy, looks like your ma just did a good stroke of business. Ordinarily, I'm a mite suspicious of city folk. But shucks, a body couldn't think evil of a fine-looking fella like him.
That was easy. How simple these yokels are. Here you are, madam. $500, I think you said.
That's right.
There it is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And there's the mortgage. This money'll come in mighty handy to me. And I'm sure you'll never regret your kind action for Miss Nellie's sake.
She's a fine gal. Come on, Lucy. Good day to you, sir.
Good day. Well, Arthur, my boy, you worked that pretty smartly. One more move and Brother Horace's million is yours. But hist, the old farmer comes. He should be easy to hoodwink. Ah, there you are, Mr. Perkins.
Afternoon, Mr. Rutherford.
I just dropped by to see you, sir, on a matter of business.
Sorry, but I got no business to do. My crops is all sold.
I care nothing for your crops. I speak of the mortgage on this place.
The mortgage? Why, little Appleby owns that.
She did, but I have purchased it from her as an investment.
Well, it's a good'un. You needn't worry about your money, mister, because I got the whole 500 right in the house.
You have? Splendid. The old fool suspects nothing. Mr. Perkins, I find myself in a rather embarrassing predicament. The purchasing of the mortgage took nearly all my spare cash, and as it happens, I've just discovered that I shall need the money at once. Naturally, I'm prepared to accept a material reduction for immediate payment. Take up the mortgage now, and I shall ask only $400.
You will? Where's the mortgage, mister?
Right here.
Wait a minute, mister. I'll be right back. Mother! Mother!
The trap is sprung. I'm sure I'll find a pretty bird inside.
Tear up the mortgage, mister. Here's the money.
Where?
Right here. Here it is. Why, it's gone.
Gone?
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 Beware how you trifle with me, sir.
But I had it.
A pretty story. You have lied to me. You can expect no mercy now. We shall meet again on Christmas Eve. We shall meet again.
Ruined. Ruined.
Fear not, Father. I shall go to the city and earn that money.
Goodness gracious.
I told you he was a mean feller.
And I told you to stop casting.
Ooh. Have we got time to read any more?
Sure.
I'm a nice guy.
And how's he going to earn that
You're
money?
You're not nice.
I'm a nice guy when I'm not playing the villain.
No,
I'm a nice guy. Tell everybody, Jimmy.
You're a nice guy from my point of view.
There you go.
But I'm not the female backstage.
Hey.
Oh.
I'm married.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, but you're not dead.
That's true.
Quick, Doris, take us out of this one.
It's hopeless. It's hopeless.
Glenn thinks he's on. You put a microphone in front of him and it's his room.
Yeah, well, you know.
Let's go over to page 48.
He is an actor.
Thanks for loaning me the room, man.
Sure.
Page 48, when we've thrown Nellie out in the snow.
Oh.
In Texas?
In Austin, Texas.
It's up north. Up north of Austin.
Well, we didn't want to do this in Boston, Massachusetts.
Well,
come on.
Right.
So it occasionally snows in Austin.
Yeah.
Rarely. Snows here on occasion.
Definitely.
Okay, Nellie. Okay.
'Tis Christmas morning. I heard the church bells in the village strike midnight. The snow is so deep I miss the road. Here on these windswept fields, I have but little hope of ever finding shelter ere I perish from the cold. But no, if I rest here, I shall die, and I must live to clear my name.
Sukel, Sukel, Sukel. Wow, I'll be jiggered if this ain't the gall darndest way to spend Christmas morning, looking for a lost heifer. Sukel. By rights, I ought to be home fixing Lucy's stocking. But the blam cow critter broke out of the barn, and I can't let the poor thing freeze to death. Sukel.
Who's that?
It's me, Widow Appleby. Who are ye? Well, by cricky, if it ain't young Dick Perkins. When did ye get home?
Tonight. Oh, Miss Appleby, Nellie is out in the snow. You must help me find her.
Sure I will. I'm looking for a lost heifer anyways, and it's just as easy to look for two things as one.
I'll go this way. You go over there.
Poor Miss Nellie. I'd sure like to help her. But where to look, that's the question. About the only shelter in these parts is the old sawmill over on the river.
But shucks, Baldy can't hardly find the river in this storm, let alone the mill. Sue cow, Miss Nelly. Sue cow, Miss Nelly. Sue cow, Miss Nelly.
Curse the girl. If she dies in the snow, I'm safe. But I must find her before young Perkins does, or he'll take her to Lawyer Willoughby, and then I'm lost. Lost! What are you doing here?
Do you think I did not overhear your attempt to marry the girl tonight? I would not trust you alone with her, even in a snowstorm.
Pshaw! I mean only to dispose of the girl. Now that you're here, you can help me hunt for her. We must find her before that young farmer does. Come on!
Nelly! 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 Oh, my conscience is torturing me. I shouldn't have drove the girl out in this storm. Mother was right. I oughtn't have taken that city fella's word against Nelly in the first place. My only hope is that she sought shelter in the old sawmill. Pray heaven I can find her in time to make amends. Nelly! Nelly!
Tis bitter cold. I grow numb. My steps falter. I can go no farther. I am lost. Daddy! Daddy! I forgive you. Tell Dick to think of me sometimes.
Oh, no sign of her anywhere. What's that?
Tis she.
Good. Ah, good.
Oh. Why, where am I?
With friends. Girl, here, drink some of this.
What is it?
Whiskey. Director's make.
Never. I have sworn that no drop of that foul fluid shall pass my lips.
You will have to carry her.
Yes, curse her.
Where will you take her?
The old sawmill. This time there is no escape. Come on.
Still no trace. But hold. What's this? Footprints. They lead to the old sawmill. I'll follow.
Okay, now so you have to come and find out whether or not he does.
Uh-huh.
And hear
whether
him
it makes
it
to the sawmill.
Yeah.
And what happens at the sawmill.
And the sawmill is a big surprise.
Oh.
So you have to come see what it is.
Yep.
All right, James.
Anyway, we have five more weekends until August the 28th.
So no one has an excuse.
No one has an excuse, especially you.
Yes. Even though I'm going to be out of town next weekend.
But Jimmy's always got an excuse.
You've got five weekends. Yeah. You can make it.
I can make it.
Yeah. 713-682-3525.
Mm-hmm.
4106, way out west. If you get lost, call us and we'll tell you how to find your way.
That's right.
Can you take what credit card?
American Express is the only credit card.
Okay, and
cash your check.
Okay.
You're 501c3, so you can tell them how much the tickets are.
Yeah.
Our season tickets are $75. You get to see seven shows.
Oh, the season tickets.
Season tickets.
I was gonna say, whoa.
Season tickets, and you get to see seven shows, and it's about a $20 savings if you buy season tickets.
Cool.
And well, the prices for the regular tickets are $14 for adults,
mm-hmm.
$13 for seniors and students, and on Sunday everybody gets in for $12.
Great.
TheaterSuburbia.org.
Theatra.
Check out the website. It's really a great website.
Great.
There's a lot of pictures of me on it.
Oh, well, that's reason enough.
Don't use that. I mean, check out the website, okay?
There's a few pictures of Doris on there.
Don't let that stop you.
Now, that would be Theatra.
Well, if I did that, I'd have to kill all of you.
And don't forget, tomorrow,
that would be Theatra.
Today, I
Suburbia.
Should say.
Yeah.
Today at 2 o'clock, mm-hmm. Elvin's having his auditions.
Oh.
So, and tomorrow at 7. Monday
for the Philadelphia story. So, what
Philadelphia
do you...
Philadelphia
story. What kind of people do you need?
Lots of people.
Live ones.
Five women and six men.
If you ever saw the original movie, it was with Catherine... Hepburn.
Was it?
Catherine Hepburn.
Oh, yes.
Cary Grant, mm-hmm. and Jimmy Stewart.
Yes.
But they're not auditioning, so we need other people to come.
Unfortunately, they're not auditioning anymore.
We got a problem.
Really, how many men, how many women? Did you tell me?
It's about, what,
the script calls for nine men and six women.
Nine men?
Nine men?
And six women.
Oh, my God.
My kind of show. Your kind of show, Jimmy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You might want season tickets, Jimmy.
Uh-huh. Just for that show.
Anyway, we thank you most kindly for having us down here.
Thank you for coming.
And look forward to seeing you.
Okay. Going to go to a little music, and then we've got Gigi.
And the only friend to guide you is an evening star. The roughest, the toughest man by far is Ragtime Cowboy Joe. He got his name from singing to the cows and sheep. Every night they say he sings the herd to sleep. In a voice so rich and deep, crooning soft and low, he always sings raggy music to the cattle. They swing back and forward in the saddle on a horse that is syncopated, gated, and there's such a funny meter to the roar of his repeater. How they run when they hear the fella's gone, because the western folks all know that he's a highfalutin', rootin', tootin' son of a gun from Arizona. Sunday in his Sunday clothes, he beats it to the village where he always goes. And every girl in town is Joe's, cause he's a ragtime bear. And once he gets to moving on the dance hall floor, no one but a lunatic would start a war. Bad men know his 44 makes men dance for sure. He always sings begin.
dumb, but they're not rude. They got each other by the pubes, squeezing on one another's tubes. One's dark and one is blonde. Day and night they get it on. They got condoms in their pockets, plug into each other's sockets. They learn from Socrates and other ancient Greeks the art of homo love and sexual techniques. They may not be too bright, but they know what they like. A love affair most triumphant. It's no bogus journey, it's a boner journey. It's time for Bill and Ted's homosexual adventure to begin.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
stop, stop. Well,
you usually hear that a lot, don't you, Jimmy?
No.
That was Jeff Krasner, 110 in the Shade, uh-huh. Which is sure as hell what it feels like lately.
Yeah.
Before that was Pansy Division, Bill and Ted's Homosexual Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And I started that off with Martin Swinger, Ragtime Cowboy Joe.
Oh, I like that version.
From the album Bare Naked.
So,
well,
it's a little bit later than I told you you'd be on.
Oh, that's okay.
But you're so sweet. How long have you been involved with After Hours?
Oh, goodness, it's been a long time.
Was it 94 or 95?
I think it was 94, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. I think so, too.
We'll have to dig back in the archives.
When the transgenders were pretty close to the same time starting with the segment. And for a very long time, you headed up the bi segment.
The bisexual segment.
And I'm talking to Gigi, of course.
Yes.
All our MDBs know your voice.
Oh, yes.
And your distinctive laugh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what gets them. And from there, I mean, you did the bi segment for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
We did some really good shows.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Fritz Klein, we interviewed a couple of times, didn't we?
And Fritz Klein and Carol Queen.
Yes.
And,
I'm so glad we got to interview Fritz now that, you know, he's passed.
Yeah.
Because he is the grandfather of bisexuality.
Oh, yes.
With that book. His first book, which was titled...
The Bisexual Option.
Yes. And I mean, it's like the Bible for bisexuality. It still is, too.
Yeah. And so is By Any Other Name.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we've also had a lot of bi activists on this show.
We really have.
Yeah.
And that's amazing because the bi community is so...
invisible.
Positive. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's not
totally
closeted.
But certainly invisible.
Yeah.
And there's a good reason for that. We've talked about it many times.
Oh, yes. Well, there's several things that happen. I mean, when two people hold hands on the corner, depending on perceived gender, mm-hmm. people assume they're gay or straight.
Yeah. Bi never comes into it.
Yeah.
They never think of bi.
Although I did during a Pride weekend kiss a boy and a girl on the corner of Montrose and Westheimer.
That's the only
a three-way kiss.
Yeah, that's the only way you would think bisexual.
Yes.
Is if two people of the same sex and one person of the opposite sex are holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
All together.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of interesting.
Then you probably think they're just friends.
Yeah.
That would be your people just do not think of bisexuality. And to my way of thinking, there are more bisexuals than any other sexual orientation.
And a lot of people in gay history are actually bisexual.
That are claimed by the gay community.
Yeah.
Like Oscar Wilde.
Yeah.
For one.
And
yeah.
But it's kind of interesting that we're doing the bisexuality because June was, I forget if it was the 20th or 25th anniversary of Binet USA.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I forget which one.
Wow.
It's numbers.
Yeah, I know.
I'm such a... I'm no longer blonde.
I see that. It's more red.
Yeah, and then my hair.
Yes.
So I'm not a dizzy blonde, I'm a dizzy redhead. At least tonight,
for a while. At least tonight, okay. Is this new?
Yeah, we did it up in Colorado. So Jay's sister brought some henna.
Jay being your wife.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided she got hers done, too.
Mm-hmm.
So all three of us did our hair. And her dad was going, well, maybe I should do mine. Of course, he was joking.
Oh, that's funny. I often tell people, they ask about you, and I say, Gigi is the most androgynous person I have ever met.
Mm, yeah.
And you are.
Oh, yeah.
And you wear it proudly.
Oh, yes.
Like tonight, you've got on a T-shirt and a skirt and hiking boots.
Shaved legs.
Yes.
And
And beard.
Beard.
Yes,
well, fuzz. I never grow much of a beard. It just gets fuzzy, and then I shave it off.
But we did that by segment for many, many years.
Yeah.
And then you kind of pulled a Harry Hay on us.
Well, not really.
And you went off to the Radical Fairies.
Yeah.
And Sacred Sex Temple. And
doing the Sacred Sex Show.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've kind of gotten more into the spiritual side of sexuality.
Yes.
These past few years. And, you know, I'm still am very much involved in the bi identity.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Jay both are.
Yeah.
You know, because
your wife is bisexual also.
Oh, yes. And, but one thing, I was thinking when you mentioned that we should do a bi segment tonight, mm-hmm. I thought it'd be good to revisit the bisexual myths.
Okay, yes, good idea. Good idea. And this is totally unscripted.
Oh, yes.
It's just from years of us doing these shows that we're going to pull from our memories.
Oh, yes.
And there are a lot of myths. And I'll tell you, there's people want the information on bisexuality.
Mm-hmm.
We get that a lot from our NBBs, and we get that a lot from straight people who call in. I mean, this is a queer show.
Mm-hmm.
But the most mail and requests and questions we get are about transgenders and bisexuals.
Yeah.
You know, it's the gays and lesbians, I guess, have been out there for so long.
Well, there's also a very visible gay community.
Oh, yeah.
But the bi community is so invisible.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to search.
Yes, and there are reasons for it.
Yeah. And that brings us kind of to one of the myths, that the, you know, bisexuals will do anything that moves.
Yeah.
or they can't make up their minds, or they'll grow out of it one day.
Yeah. There used to be, in fact, a magazine called Anything That Moves.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a takeoff on that thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe for
excellent magazine.
Yes. Maybe for some men. It might be true, but certainly not for the majority of bisexuals.
Well, that brings up another myth.
Yeah.
That bisexuals can't be monogamous.
Oh, that's not true.
Uh-uh. I know a lot of monogamous bisexuals.
Yes, yes.
Also know a lot of poly.
Yes.
Polyamorous bisexuals.
Well, you know, the thing of it is,
but polyamory isn't attached to any sexual orientation. You have gays and straights
that are
poly,
and gays and straights who are monogamous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's the same difference. If you commit to one person, then you know you probably look at other people.
Yeah.
If you're gay or straight and you commit to one person in a monogamous relationship, you still see other people as attractive.
Oh, yeah.
You don't act on it.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing in the bi community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But a lot of bi couples either are poly, or they might have an open relationship, or you know, the thing with bisexuals, as with gays and lesbians, is that we're able to create our own relationships the way we want them to be.
Oh, yeah. And one of the things discovered real quickly at bi conferences
mm-hmm.
is the whole spectrum of relationship styles.
Yes.
Everything from polyfidelity, which means that you're in a committed relationship with two or more others
mm-hmm.
instead of a traditional marriage.
Yeah.
You've got everything from screw buddies to...
that's right.
You name it. I know
in
I've had
in
lots
the straight
of
community that would be called what would they call it? What is that when you're married to more bigamy?
Yeah.
In the bi community, it's perfectly acceptable.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I know a three-way marriage that's been going on for almost 30 years.
Really?
Now. Yeah.
Of course, it's more complicated.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have three different people, three different ideas, three different emotions, and you have to take into account all of this.
Yeah.
So it's more difficult, but
Actually, there can be a lot of rewards to it.
Yes.
In fact, me and Jay at one point were wanting to find the third or fourth person to be in our relationship.
Yeah.
But just economically, three incomes and three or four incomes.
That's right. That's right. I hadn't thought about it that way. But
and
right.
You don't have to buy extra appliances when you can share with a bigger family.
Sure.
You know.
You just need one more bedroom.
Not necessarily.
Oh, well, that's true. Just a bigger bed.
But, you know...
See, because in a way, I was in that relationship before Stanley died, because I was his lover in Houston, and he had another lover in Seattle.
Yeah.
It wasn't exactly a regular type of three-way, because David and I do not get along.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And when you were with Jimmy...
Yeah, that's right. Now, that was
Jimmy
true.
And Stanley didn't get along.
No, they did.
Well, I mean, they didn't get along in bed.
Well, no, there wasn't any sex between them. But, Stanley was only here half the time.
Yeah.
And so Jim was my surrogate, or there were times that I felt guilty, because when Stanley was in town, I devoted my attention to Stanley.
Yeah.
And kind of left Jim out in the cold.
But
when Stanley was gone, he had my full attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss Jim. Jim.
He was in town this past weekend.
Oh, wow. I missed him.
For Whitney's annual do.
Oh, okay.
Her Sinfest.
Yeah.
She toned it down tremendously this year.
Wow.
It was a sit-down dinner at someone's house.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so it's very, very small.
Very small.
Very small.
Yeah. But, back to bisexual myths.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting to look at the bisexual movement, because one of the big myths is that bisexuals don't get politically involved and don't fight for equal rights.
So tell me more about this, because
look at Fritz Klein.
Oh, Fritz Klein, of course.
Carol Queen.
Yes.
Lonnie Kamani.
The Hawaiian.
Yeah. And Lorraine Hutchins.
Yeah.
And
there are the activists.
Yeah.
But not nearly enough.
Oh, well, you'd be surprised. They've been working with both GLAAD and PFLAG and with, what's the other one? It's
not HRC, certainly.
No. Well, they tried to.
Yeah. We know how that went.
But the more friendly one.
The task force.
Task force, that's it.
HRC, let me tell you something, folks, about HRC. You see those equal signs? Well, it's not exactly equal. HRC is devoted to gays and lesbians.
Yeah.
And while, I'm a gay man, so I should be happy about that. But they just give lip service to the B's and the T's.
Yeah, if that much.
If that much, yeah. So.
And sometimes that can be even more damaging. Because expect to... ally just stand up and
they don't when it gets going rough, they'll just throw you under the bus every time.
Yeah.
Okay, enough bashing on HRC.
Oh yeah.
I didn't spend airtime talking about
it. But fortunately, we do have some good allies out there. You know, and
could always use more.
Oh, yeah, and there's a lot of tie-ins between the bisexual and the transgender community. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, just a lot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because that's
in fact,
transgenders are heavily bisexual.
Yeah. Well, also, I remember it was years ago when the first time it came around to pass that equal rights,
mm-hmm.
and Binet USA said unless trans and gender different,
forget it.
Yeah. We're not backing it just for gays and
lesbians.
Good for
them. I'm glad they stood up to it.
Yeah, and you know it makes sense because there can be gay men that blend in perfectly
mm-hmm.
to society
yep.
and very closeted, can get by.
Yeah.
It's not, you can't look at someone and tell they're gay.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Unless they're a real flamer.
It's the flamers and the effeminate men.
Yes, yes.
That tend to stand out more. Mm-hmm. And the trans men and women.
Yeah. Well, trans women, I think, probably pass more because they're able to grow facial hair.
Yeah.
And you immediately, when you see a person with facial hair, it's male.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think male. It's just a very small male,
mm-hmm.
usually. And a lot of transgendered women, unfortunately, might not ever pass because of too many masculine traits or size.
Yeah.
You know, they may be too big, way too big to pass as a woman.
Yeah. You know, I've talked
pass
about...
Pass as a born woman.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've talked about this on the show. The whole concept of passing to me is a little bit ludicrous.
Yes.
You're
transgendered, honey.
Yeah.
You know, stand up and be counted.
Well, not just that, but we're all the gender... Each of us is the gender we are.
Yeah.
And gender is not just about what's between the legs.
Absolutely not.
A big part of gender is deeper in mm-hmm. and much, much more
yes.
mental, neurological, many different elements combined to make up gender.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to me, the whole concept of trying to pass, it's kind of puts gender into this binary system, a male or female.
Yeah, you're right.
And once again, there's a spectrum out there.
And people don't realize that.
It's, yeah.
You know, not everybody is XX and XY.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of...
variations.
and XYY and, you know.
Well, Lorraine Hutchins identified 17 distinct genders in human beings.
Really?
Yeah.
With varying degrees of X's and Y's?
Well, it's not just based, gender can't just be based on the X's and Y's.
Okay.
There's other things that go into gender,
mm-hmm.
including hormones.
Oh, yeah. True.
You know, there's a condition where supermodels, very super effeminate women,
yes.
are actually males.
No kidding.
They just have a condition called testosterone intolerance.
Uh-huh.
Their cells cannot receive the testosterone.
Oh.
And so they never masculinize.
Oh.
And all women have some testosterone.
Yes.
So they get some very subtle masculine traits.
Sure.
But these women can't, their body cells can't receive male hormones at all. And so they revert to super female.
Yeah.
And extra soft skin,
mm-hmm.
all the things that make female, you know.
Yes.
It's like super duper females.
Oh.
But genetically, they're male.
Yeah. But you're right, because different people have different amounts of hormones
mm-hmm.
that they secrete. Some too much, some not enough.
Yeah.
For the supposed gender, you know.
Uh-huh.
So what does that make them?
And the other thing is that gender is so, you know, I did a lot of studies when I was learning more about intersex mm-hmm. and being hermaphrodite.
Yes.
And, you know, when babies are born, the doctors pull out the ruler. If the clit's too long, they snip it. Ooh. If the penis is too short, they
sex reassignment surgery.
And it's like there's this standard. And that, you know, you have to be, when you're born, you have to have certain characteristics or you're changed.
Yeah.
Altered.
Yeah.
Which I think is...
There's been a lot about that. And I don't think they're doing as much of it now.
No. But, well, it's not as hard.
Now that the spotlight has been shined on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so back to some of the bi myths.
Yeah.
Now, we've kind of touched on anything that moves. Because there are many bisexuals are very discriminating.
Oh, I'm totally discriminating. But I just have a wide interest.
But a lot don't. Yes.
And I've known some that are very discriminating.
Yes. Everyone is different.
Mm-hmm. I think another myth that comes up, especially in the lesbian community, mm-hmm. is that if a woman is bisexual, she'll leave a lesbian for another girl.
Oh, yes.
For another man.
For a man, yeah.
And it's like, well, maybe she might also leave you for another woman.
Right. If the relationship doesn't work out, it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't depend on that.
Right. And so it's kind of this myth that, well, because someone's bi, there's a greater chance they'll leave you.
No, not at all.
A lesbian will leave a lesbian.
Exactly.
Just as quick.
Mm-hmm. Ask any lesbian how many relationships she's had. Yes.
The U-Haul trailer.
Yep. There is that.
Mm-hmm. And one of my best friends is lesbian. Mm-hmm. That we used to go out to the bars all the time.
Oh,
and she's cool.
Yes.
And I dress up, and sometimes I get hit on by some of the lesbians. I had one that she couldn't believe I was a male. So I lifted my skirt and showed her between my legs. And she turned and looked at me, and she said, "That's the biggest clit I've ever seen."
On that note, since you just killed Jimmy with that.
Oh, my God, I choke on the big ones.
We need to step out and do the PSAs in the top of the hour.
So oh, okay.
We'll be right back.
XXIV is Roman for 24, and you know what they say about that. And what they say is that they will be there at the Last Concert Cafe on Saturday, July 31st for the 24th Annual Watermelon Dance and Summer Social. This KPFT benefit features the Spare Parts Band, Leslie Newman, Jimmy Dean, Los Vertigos, Richard Cagle, Larry from Austin, Plump, The Rafters, The Hightailers, and Pot Roast, all starting at 4 o'clock. Located at 1403 Nan Street, just off the Hardy McKee exit on I-10, the Last Concert Cafe is the ideal place for Houston's premier summertime music festival. The door fee is $15 for one, $25 for two. So bring a friend and come on out and dance a while you support your community radio station, 90.1 KPFT, Houston. XXIV, 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 XXIV.
The Houston Lutheran Blind Mission, or HLBM, will hold its monthly meeting and dinner for the blind and sight impaired at 11 a.m. on Saturday, July 24th, 2010, at Memorial Lutheran Church, 5800 Westheimer Road. The HLBM will present a luncheon meal where we will recognize fellow members. It will be an afternoon of food and fellowship for families and friends. Have fun and learn about yourself at this meeting. The Lutheran Blind Mission is an organization that provides social interaction, life skills support, and Christian fellowship for the blind and sight impaired of all faiths. The driver for any blind or sight impaired person is welcome to enjoy our dinner and the evening with us. The meeting will be in the fellowship hall and will end at 1 p.m. Please call Tracy Pastrana for dinner reservations by Monday, July 19th at 713-782-6079. This is KPFT Houston.
And you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Now broadcasting in high definition, go over to kpft.org and find out what's broadcasting there. Also, make sure you can find us on Facebook. Join us as a friend, as many others have. I forgot to look at the count while I was on there.
Yeah. After Hours. Is that one word?
I guess.
Okay.
I don't know how to do that. I gotta figure out what the link is so I can send it to Robert Tichy so that we'll be put on the Louie.
Absolutely.
So I have a link on us from Louie.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I would just help you go to LouieWeekend.com, click around there for a little bit, and you'll find us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back with Gigi.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about Bi-Net.
Yeah.
It's is it international?
No, it's national.
National organization.
Yeah, Bi-Net USA.
Been around 20, 25 years.
Yeah.
How active is it these days?
Do you they've been more active this last year.
Okay. Because I know for a short period of time, there was this burst of activity.
Yeah.
To really get it going and really be visible, and that seemed to have fizzled.
Yeah, well, it didn't exactly fizzle.
Because you were involved with it, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. I think part of what happened was, you know, Bi-Net USA has always been kind of grassroots, and they've never really wanted to do much of a budget or, you know, a lot of fundraising, and so far, while we were doing a lot of fundraising, we were looking at hiring an executive director, and, you know, we came very close to succeeding in that, and actually, we did hire one for a short while, but then, you know, we got a lot of mixed feelings there, and, you know, people really wanted to go back to the grassroots and not have paid staff.
Okay,
and
I see.
Not do the fundraising kind of thing.
Because they tell me what to do.
Well, you know how those things go.
Yeah.
You know, I see it in just about every alternative community. There's this kind of sense
But to grow, you've got to have a national organization.
Yeah.
That oversees, I don't want to say runs, but oversees and tries to get everybody on the same page,
right?
You know, to be effective nationwide.
And I think that's...
Because grassroots is great, but you're only effective in your little sphere, your town or your county or maybe even your state.
Yeah.
That's pushing it.
But I think part of the problem comes back again to bisexuality is such an invisible orientation.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, it's like, you know, trying to organize and bring such a diverse group of people together is a pretty difficult task.
Because when you look at it from a kind of a liberal viewpoint, more people are bisexual than are straight or or lesbian. You look at that 0 to 6 scale, where 0 is straight and 6 is gay.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about 10% of the people being gay or lesbian.
Yeah.
I think about 10% of the people are absolutely positively straight.
Yeah.
And everybody else falls
somewhere in between. Yeah.
You know, you're either a one half or a five and a half or, you know.
And this is something that's come up in Bi-Net often, is this concept that do we label other people, or is bisexuality a self-identified?
That's the problem, because so many people who are definitely bisexual will not admit to it.
Yeah. And so, you know, you have to respect that at some point, to some degree.
Because bisexuality isn't that you like men or women equally.
Yeah.
That hardly ever happens.
Yeah, except for someone like me.
It's usually...
And I like them all at the same time.
You prefer one over the other. You have interest in the other.
Yeah.
Some sort of interest from maybe just thinking about it to maybe acting on it a couple of times in your life or...
You don't even have to act on it at all.
Yeah, that's true.
That you can be bisexual and a virgin.
Well, just as you can be gay or straight
and
never
be
have
a virgin.
Sex,
yeah.
Never have sex in your entire life. You're still gay or straight because you
it's
know
about
who you're attracted
attraction,
to.
Right. Not about who you do.
Right. And it's even more than just attraction. It's who do you want to spend your life with? Who do you want emotional ties to? Who are you emotionally attracted to?
Yeah.
Men or women? And maybe the other gender you're just physically attracted to.
Yeah.
You know, if
but you know, I think one of the things that I went through going through, you know, kind of exploring being hermaphrodite, I kind of throw the whole sexual orientation out the window.
Well, yes. In your case.
I think actually if you look at gender not as a binary system, all of a sudden it does throw all sexual orientation out the window. Because all definitions of sexual orientation are based on attraction to the same sex or the opposite sex.
Yes.
And when you get rid of the binary system, there's no longer a same or opposite.
Yeah.
There's a spectrum.
It's just you're attracted to people.
Yeah. And I've often brought this up. Even if a gay man is not attracted to every male.
No, that's true.
He's attracted to some male.
We don't want to have sex with every male.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not all lesbians are attracted to every single female.
Just like in the straight community.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, even the way things naturally work, it kind of hints that something's wrong with this binary system.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really working very well.
Because if it was just male, female, then if you were straight, you should be attracted to all females.
Yeah.
But that isn't
and
true.
And he would do.
But it isn't true.
Uh-huh. Which gives a kind of different concept to anything that moves.
Yes.
With, depending on what's between the legs.
Oh, you bisexuals, you just fall in love with the person and you work out the plumbing later.
There's another myth that kind of tends to, you kind of touched on it a little bit.
Yeah.
In the sense that, well, if you're bi, you have twice the luck of getting laid.
No, because if you're ugly, you're not going to get laid, okay?
Well, it's not just that. It's actually, just getting, identifying as bi.
Sure.
A lot of people are turned off and go, oh, I won't date a bi.
Brother. You know, unless they identify as a bi, you wouldn't even know it.
But
I think most people are bi anyway.
I'm so out and open about it, and I tell everybody.
You know what my turning point was?
What's that?
Is when I realized I met a transgender woman.
Yeah.
And I was instantly attracted.
Oh, wow.
Big time. She was in a relationship. I'm sure she realized that I was completely gaga because, I mean, I couldn't even talk around her.
Yeah.
I had to go home and think about this. Oh, my God, I'm a gay male and I'm attracted to a transgender woman. What is this about?
Yeah.
And it got me to thinking about the rules of attraction and what does it all mean?
Yeah. And I think, you know, I've noticed this with myself. a lot of times I'm attracted to someone not just because of the physical qualities,
mm-hmm.
but because of the spiritual,
absolutely,
and the mental.
Yeah, yeah. This was my attraction was not purely physical. When you see the person that you really want to date, you want to get to know this person,
oh, yes.
you want to know everything about this person. That was that type of attraction.
And I've always kind of looked at sexual relationships as a deeper form of friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a lot of people look at romantic love as something separate from friendship.
I think gay men are very good at doing that.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of straight couples out there, too, that are good at doing that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
And, you know, it's a matter of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make your world? Because we all kind of build our own world.
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
Out of our perceptions, out of our... preconceived ideas.
I think the only time we get screwed up in the head is when we think of ourselves as gay or we think of ourselves as straight.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we see somebody of the same or opposite sex that, and we're attracted to them in some way,
mm-hmm.
we run scared and try to put that out of her mind, and that doesn't exist, and that's not me. And
yeah,
but it is you, honey.
Well, I mean, it gets back to this. I've told this story before here uh-huh. on the air. You know, I knew this guy. He said, "Oh, I'm straight,"
mm-hmm.
and I said, I challenged him. I said, "Are you really straight? Have you ever tried having sex with another guy?"
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "No." And I said, "Then you can't tell me that you're straight. All you can tell me is that from your experience, you don't like the idea of it.
Ah.
But since you've never experienced it, you're basing all your definitions on something you've never tried."
Yes.
And lost touch with him for a couple of years.
Uh-huh.
And then I ran into him, and he came up to me, and he said, "Guess what? I tried it and I loved it."
Can we talk briefly about sexuality in prisons?
Mm.
Are men behind bars? We're in a situation where men are locked up together
mm-hmm.
without benefit of female companionship of any kind.
Yeah.
And many revert to sex with other men.
Mm-hmm.
The psychologists call that situational homosexuality.
Yeah.
But some of the guys who write here to us think more of themselves as bisexual.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's going to remain true once they get out.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think you have to take it on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
You know, once someone experiences something and they decide, well, I kind of like this.
Yeah.
Others may experience it and say, well, I'll take this because I have to, but as soon as I'm out of here, you know.
Yeah.
You know, human beings are sexual entities.
Yes, yes.
And
it may be for some of those men, it's the type of situation that they are attracted to women, and they don't seek out other men for sex.
Yeah.
But in the right situation, if they ever came across it again, maybe in an orgy or something,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they might tend to...
Yeah,
have sex with another guy. You know, it's mm-hmm. when it's right there in front of you, not that you sought it out, but
yeah.
when it's right there, you might yeah. partake.
Yeah. So I think it's, you know, it's an individual thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not, you can't really make that generalization that because someone's locked up and they're only...
Yeah,
availability is either men
yeah.
that because they have sex with another man, and I think bi or gay or...
I think most men in the prison system do not partake. I think they just don't do without.
Yeah. And many do.
But many do, yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is...
But this also may, because they are in this situation, it may open... It may have been in the back of their minds. It may have been part of their makeup anyway.
Yeah.
And this gave them the opportunity. Yes.
If you look at Kinsey...
Yeah.
You know...
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
You know, I think just about everybody at one time or another has thought, what would it be like?
Yes.
You know,
I can't speak for women because I'm a gay man and I've not had a lot of sexual experience with women. But, you know, most guys I know compared and had circle jerks and things like that as young teenagers.
Yeah.
Some continued into late teens. Some stopped, some continued, some do both now. You know,
for sure.
So just because when you were 12 and 13, you had a circle jerk with a couple of your friends, does not mean that you're gay. It does not even mean that you're bisexual.
Yeah.
It means that you experimented.
Well, I also like to bring up masturbation.
Yeah, because we all do it.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I've seen studies that show that, you know, for most people, even in marriages committed relationships, masturbation plays a big part of their sex life.
And as you get older, as I'm finding out through some Yahoo groups I'm involved with, masturbation is important for your health.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you're an older person, you don't have a sex partner anymore, or if your sex partner is disinterested in sex, then masturbation at least once a week is
once a week.
At least once a week. I know. You're still a several times a day guy, but yes, I mean it's vital to your health.
Yeah,
absolutely vital.
But I also bring up masturbation from a sexual orientation point of view.
Yeah.
If you masturbate, does that mean you're in love with yourself? And isn't that same sex? No, that's getting kind of carried away. But you think about it.
You know, here's something that
kind of makes joke of the whole sexual orientation.
Oh, I can go one better because if men were able to perform fellatio upon themselves,
I can't.
Every straight man would do it. Let's face it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be another form of masturbation.
Yeah.
But what does that mean then? Because you suck your own cock, does that mean that you will suck others? No.
But you know, nowadays I identify more as pansexual, which is a little bit broader than bisexual.
What does pansexual mean?
For me, what it means is that I explored many different forms of sexual expression.
Ah.
Not just limited to men and women.
Mm-hmm. Or men and men, or what?
And I think one good...
Or not just oral or anal.
Right.
Okay.
It's exploring the full realm of human sexuality.
Okay.
And
which includes?
BDSM. It includes... I think one experience I've had several times is being with a man and a woman at the same time,
mm-hmm.
Both making love to me.
Yes.
And, or one of the partners being in the middle, and it's kind of an interesting...
Like a sandwich?
Dynamic.
Yeah.
Well, it's more than just a sandwich. It's about the energy.
Ah.
When I make love and I've got a partner in the middle,
uh-huh.
I'm making love not only to the partner, but to the other partner
yeah.
that's on the other side.
So you're having sex with a man and a woman at the same time.
But I'm also having sex through one body to another body.
Oh, I see what you mean.
So
his sexual energy will pass through you into her.
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, I had a girlfriend once
mm-hmm.
who liked to be in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I could feel his cock mm-hmm. through her,
yes.
the walls of her vagina and anus.
I see. Ooh, double penetration.
And so we were both having sex with her.
I see.
And so that's a whole different kind of dynamic than your normal relationship style.
Yeah, certainly would be.
Sexual expression style.
But exploring all different phases like... a leather play, you said,
yeah.
BDSM,
yeah,
and sacred sex,
yeah.
as you've done now.
Mm-hmm. I think part of it too is another aspects of pansexuality is sex with nature.
Mm-hmm.
There's been many times I've gone body surfing to orgasm. Nude.
Okay, you're going to have to explain this one to me.
Okay, when you body surf, what you do is you hop into a wave as it's coming up.
Yes.
It lifts your bodies, and if you arch your back just right and you're naked, the waves stimulate your genitals.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm having sex with you at ocean.
Okay. I have to think about that one.
It's very awesome. And men or women.
And where do you get to do this?
At Galveston. I wear a little bikini. I take it off when I'm deep in the surf and ride the waves to orgasm.
I was hoping to find out about a new nude beach in Galveston or something.
Or I go to the nude beach, the old one. I don't know if it's even still there.
Oh.
I haven't been there in years. That used to be on High Island.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't know if it's still going on. I know it's off and on, off and on. And the cops would bust it for a while, do sting operations, and
that's
then
so
they'd
stupid.
Then they'd back off and let them have it.
Yeah, I mean, there aren't people are a lot of people are nudists.
Yeah,
they're not there for sex.
Yeah,
they're there to be nude.
Yeah,
and
I don't like tan lines, baby.
They've got this little beach area, and they want to just congregate mm-hmm. there. What's the big deal?
And it wasn't a place that you could easily get to. It's where the hurricane had washed out all the roads.
You
really had to be wanting to go there to get there.
That's what I've heard.
It wasn't like you accidentally happened upon it.
And that's the way most nude beaches are.
Yeah. And then, of course, well, the water's way too cold for me, but when I was in California, we got down the Pacific.
To Black Beach?
Yeah. But that...
I don't get it. You know, they rave about California the beaches, but the water is too damn cold.
Oh, for me.
You know, even in Hawaii...
Yeah.
Where you've got a long slope and the water gets mm-hmm. to be warmed by the sun, it's still chilly.
Yeah.
The Pacific Ocean is cold.
Oh, yeah.
We are.
We're blessed with the Gulf.
We are.
And then, of course, I used to go to Corpus years and years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there's desolate areas.
Oh, yes.
Out there that... I'd just run naked on the beach and...
Yeah, there was nobody around.
Nobody around except the people that went with me.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes we'd all party naked at the beach.
Well, why not?
Yeah. And we'd have bonfires at night and guys swimming under the full moon.
That's nice.
Awesome.
Yeah. How did we get off on this subject? What were we talking about?
Oh, sex with nature.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Part of being pansexual.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So So, you know, there are, and then there's other times where I've had sex up in a tree, up in the treetop, feeling the wind on my body and the texture of the tree against my body. And
ooh, that sounds rough.
No, 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 not the bark. up in the leaves.
Oh, okay. You never fail to surprise me.
Oh, I know it. But feeling the wind and the movement of the tops of the trees.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's amazing when you jerk off in the tops, treetops, and how far you can shoot.
I'm going to have to hurt you. Okay.
Baby, is that a promise?
Back to bisexuality. We were still talking about the effectiveness of BiNet USA.
Yeah.
Do you know what they're doing lately?
I haven't really kept up a whole lot.
There's a website.
Yeah, they've got a website.
BiNetUSA.com.
The one thing I do know, they are starting to record some of the history.
Ooh.
Of BiNet.
Good.
For the anniversary.
History is so important.
Oh, yeah. And so they're kind of putting some of that together.
Okay.
Now that's going on.
Okay.
But I haven't heard a whole lot of other stuff.
No, I know. I know.
But I've been so involved in other things. I haven't been as involved in BiNet.
Yeah.
And somehow I got off the BiActL listserv, which is the bisexual activist listserv.
BiACT
and then L.
L.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's the bisexual
activist. Is it a Yahoo group?
No. It's
.org?
No, it's actually run out of Brown University.
Oh, so it would be EDU.
Yeah. And they've got a weird system that if you don't
renew
every year with the right code,
okay,
it throws you out. And I just
That's tacky.
Well, it's part of the educational system. They don't want to have, I think because it is a college, they have to get rid of the inactive people.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, their computers would probably have way too many accounts time.
Oh, okay.
So.
Oh, that's a shame.
But, you know, that's where I used to really get a lot of the what's going on in the bisexual
activist. Yeah, because
it's
hard to find out what's going on.
So I need to get back on BiActL.
Yeah.
Resubscribe to it.
Can we go to a piece of music? No. Please? And then we'll wrap up?
No.
Sure.
Okay.
I had a fun time trying to pick a song because I wanted to go through our new CD we got here.
We got a new CD?
Yeah, the Kinsey Six.
Oh, yes.
Each Hit and I.
Yes.
And so I went through and I picked one you didn't mark.
Oh, boy. Which one is that?
I'm not telling you.
Okay.
Someone check. Is Ernesto still in the building?
No.
Oh, well.
Okay.
I did make sure, though, so it was
good. Okay.
Enough. It's the Kinsey Six with a lovely little ditty, stealing from ABBA. We'll be right back.
I've been cheated by you since I don't know when. I've had every disease you can have in your end. Look at me now. I can feel the burn. I don't know how. But it's time that you're with some troll. There's a fire within my hole. Just my luck, each time that you have a fling. Just one schmuck, and then my pee starts to sting. Oh,
gonorrhea. Here I go again. My, drugs cannot resist you. Gonorrhea, does it show again? My, now it's in my piss too. It's done that you get hard it. Sleep in a cup to guard it. Why did I ever let you go? Gonorrhea, now I really know. My, you are just a skanky hoe. I feel angry and sad about all that you screw. She feels angry and sad about all that you screw. If it moves and it breathes, or just one out of two. If it moves and it breathes, or just one out of two. Each time you go, I get a shaker sore. We both know when you're sorry that you've done wrong. You don't pass the word to your schlong. Meet one jerk.
Your donkey is spring.
My one perk. The diseases you bring.
The diseases you bring.
Oh, gonorrhea. Food you blow again. My, can't a single tryst do.
Diarrhea.
Does a show again. My,
do STDs do this too?
Each time your legs are parted, you need a flame retardant. Why did I ever let you go? Gonorrhea, now I really know. My, you're still really sexy though.
Protection. Oh, I want
He went away, and you hung around and bothered me every night. And when I wouldn't go out with you, you said things that weren't very nice. My boyfriend's fat, now you're gonna be in trouble.
Hela, hela, my boyfriend's fat.
When you see him coming, better cut out on the double.
Hela, hela, my boyfriend's fat.
You've been spreading lies that I was untrue.
Hela, hela, my boyfriend's fat.
Look out now, cause he's coming after you.
Trying, and he knows that you've been lying.
He's been gone for such a long time.
Hela, hela, my boyfriend's back.
Now he's back, and things will be fine.
Hela, hela, my boyfriend's back.
I'm gonna be sorry you were ever born.
Hela, hela, my boyfriend's back.
He's kinda big, and he's awful strong. Save my reputation.
Hela, hela, my boyfriend's fat.
If I were you, I'd take a permanent vacation.
Hela, hela, my boyfriend's fat. Hey, I can see it coming. Now you better start a running.
Save my reputation.
Hela, hela, my boyfriend's back.
Hela, hela, my boyfriend's back. Look out now.
Hela, hela, my boyfriend's back.
What were you thinking? Cause you're gonna get
my boyfriend's back
right now.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
My boyfriend's back.
My boyfriend's back.
Yeah, my boyfriend's back.
My boyfriend's back.
My boyfriend's back.
Yeah, my boyfriend's back.
My boyfriend's back.
Spears, my boyfriend's back.
I love that.
Well, it's the quickest thing I could grab because, you know, I had a two-pack there of a tribute to STIs.
Yes, you played Gonorrhea by the Kinsey Six off their brand new CD called Each Hit and I, which I have to say very slowly.
Yes, you do.
And make sure your teeth are in all the way.
Yeah, that's right.
And followed up with Pansy Division, No Protection.
No Protection. Ah, that worked well together.
Well, yeah, I was only planning on two, then I couldn't dig in far enough to find another viral video.
Oh, sorry. I'm still here with Gigi. We're wrapping up a segment on bisexuality, and we were talking outside during the music, and since we don't have a regular bi segment anymore, I'm going to be asking Gigi to do things on bisexuality
once in a definitely.
While, because you do the sacred sex, and and you do the radical fairy stuff, and lots of spirituality, but we need to get back to some good old basic
stuff.
Maybe do some interviews.
Oh, yes.
Carol Queen. And I got to meet her in person.
Oh, she's dynamite.
Oh, my God. She is incredible.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Ooh.
And, you know, she does so much out of San Francisco.
Yes.
You know, and she's part of, what's that?
The
shop.
The Vibrator Store.
Yeah, Good Vibrations.
Good Vibrations. Yes.
And, you know, they do Masturbation Month, all kinds of stuff.
All kinds of great stuff.
And Carol Queen runs Safer Sex Parties, mm-hmm. and Jack and Jill Offs.
Yeah.
All kinds of fun things.
It is fun. Sex is fun.
Oh, yes.
It's good for your psyche.
And good for your health.
And especially when you get older, it's absolutely... I mean, men, they did a study.
Yeah.
There's been a new study out. Men who masturbate, older men over 60, who masturbate at least once a week, live longer.
Yeah. Well, it also, if you... You know, the testes are not a storage device.
Not for long-term storage. Anyway.
Really, yeah. But actually, there has been research that men that have sex regularly tend to have less incidence of testicular cancer.
Oh, yes.
And it also helps the prostate gland.
Mm-hmm.
Doing prostate massage and even testicle massage.
That's right. Men who masturbate regularly have much less chance of prostate cancer.
Yeah.
So you know, you guys...
Get a hand on it. And
you guys who've come up with prostate cancer, you haven't been jacking off enough. Okay. No.
But we have
you
been,
can get it even if you masturbate every day.
Yeah.
But it's...
It decreases the risk.
That's right. It does.
But we have been talking about bisexual myths.
We have tonight.
And, you know, it's amazing.
And
this
is off the top of our heads, too.
Oh, yeah.
Just because, you know, we've been doing, you and I and many other people have been doing the bisexual segment since 94.
Yeah.
You know, so a little has rubbed off over the
years. Oh, yeah. What I'd love to do someday again, if I ever have the money and am able to do it again, is to do another bi conference.
I know it. That was wonderful.
Wasn't it?
That's where I got to meet Carol Queen.
Yeah.
Yes, that was marvelous. And
you got
good showing. And I got an award.
Yeah.
It's on my wall.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very proud of that.
And you also got to play in the party.
I did. A gay man in a bisexual party room.
Oh, yes. And the sprinkler system went off.
Got so hot.
Got so hot it set off the fire system.
It was fun.
Actually, that was the Baptist, I think.
Yeah, that's right. It was the Baptist. That was great. There was a Baptist thing going
contingent
on.
Contingent right
in the
across
same
the
hotel.
Hall. From the bi group.
Oh, that was funny.
Oh, it was great.
Well, Gigi, thank you for being here.
Yeah, and for all those that don't even know, there is a word for it. It's called questioning.
Yeah.
Question, explore, seek out. Don't go by preconceived notions. Don't set your mind and close the door. Experience it. See for yourself if you like it or not.
That's right.
You know, whether you're gay or straight.
That's right.
Try something new and different.
Try something new and different. You gay guys, try a woman. You never know.
Yeah. And it's not that necessarily that we're trying to convert anybody.
No.
We're just trying to broaden your horizons and open your mind.
That's right.
And if nothing else, if you try something new, at least you'll get a whole new perspective on life.
You will. You will. And you'll learn more about yourself.
Uh-huh. So on that note, till next time.
Thank you. Now, more music. Oh, and Wes is doing the music now.
Ah.
He's almost into gay music as much as I am.
Ah.
You must remember this. A kiss is still a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. These fundamental things apply. Gay, straight, or bi. Gay, straight, or bi.
Now would it really scare us if Hanks could kiss Banderas just once before he dies?
Let's hope that's what the future brings as time goes by.
As time goes by.
Man Network celebrate.
Tom Selleck kisses Kevin Kline, no need to prove he's straight.
Richard Simmons gets a man, Dykes with kids can date. Two moms and apple pie.
I'd like to wake one morning without parental warning as Bert and Ernie kiss goodbye. The world may someday welcome lovers, gay, straight, or bi.
All right.
Ah, that was lovely.
Yes. Kimsey Six, Gay, Straight, or Bi.
Mm-hmm. A perfect song to end the segment.
It was a lucky pull on that one.
So to speak.
Well, Chris had taken off before while y'all were doing y'all's wrap-up.
Taken off where?
To go get some more drink.
Oh.
So it's like I quickly pulled one out of the box. And
okay.
I was like, perfect ending.
Perfect.
So.
Now we're going to do some MBB letters, right?
Yeah, we're going to do some MBBs. I mean, I seem to have kind of inherited this little segment now.
Well, only because you get here early enough to read them.
Yeah, true.
Or because we just think of you as a prison bitch in training.
Well, yeah, that too.
funny man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here, you want this?
I don't care. We just need to switch chairs.
You need that one. Hold on a second. Let me switch chairs with Chris real quick.
Okay.
My ass doesn't fit in this chair.
Sounds like a personal problem to me.
Yes.
Give me that chair. I like that one better anyway.
Well, let's hope it does by Labor Day.
Oh, God.
All right.
Yeah, I had to announce
it at the Louis meeting.
Uh-huh.
And Carlos wasn't there.
Oh, you're kidding.
So I said, yeah, I'm losing, but not in the way I'm supposed to be.
Well,
you know, he gave up carbs. I gave up carbonated beverages.
Oh.
Apparently it's not the same.
No.
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 I'm hoping for sexercise, but that ain't happening until I get to San Antonio.
Ah. All right. So, like I said, we got a couple of MBB letters here.
Okay.
Both of them are short this week.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said at the beginning of the show, we got Deep Cover, who has written us once again.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear from Deep Cover.
So, let's start with him first. He says, Dear After Hours Crew, and pins in Wes, Chris, Jimmy, Judy, and guys.
He uses a typewriter.
Yeah, he used a typewriter on this one. And by the way, just for all of our MBBs that like to mention us by name, my name is spelled with one S.
Oh, W E S.
Yes, W E S.
Okay.
All right. I am flattered that y'all try to remember how to spell it, but it is one S.
Okay.
He starts off, "Hey y'all, how are you all doing? I hope you guys are doing good."
Uh-huh.
Cannot really. I guess we can say this word. I cannot really bitch and moan, but I could be worse off. I'm glad you all got my letter, and I'm writing this as I listen along. And I think that idea about doing a show on the history of condoms was a good idea.
That is a good idea. Yeah.
You know, it could tie into safe sex and how important all that is.
You bet.
And thanks for the lesson on erotica and gay porn history. Who said radio wasn't educational?
See?
Yep.
And that was just right off the top of my head.
Yeah. Jimmy, you're a regular verbal textbook full of all kinds of insightful things.
That's usually not the oral exam he gives.
And now Jimmy's going to walk out of here with a head bigger than what we
need. Oh, stop.
We'll be able to fit through the glory hole.
I'm telling you. Jimmy, you old queen, you're always saying things that just keep me laughing my ass off.
I am an old queen, I guess.
I can tell that you're a real fun person to be around out there and that free. If I get out anytime soon, I will for sure have to come down to the studios and meet you.
You better.
You're going to have to stop licking that ink off the outlines on the paper. As we remember talking about that.
Fantasizing.
I definitely can tell he was listening to the show because he says, "Man, I see that that was a really good poem that Daryl wrote.
Yeah,
that I have to sharpen my skills up.
That was good.
And like Daryl, I also appreciate the love that y'all show and the time that y'all take to add us guys on lockup to After Hours. I'm sure Daryl feels the same when I say it makes us feel like we are part of y'all's team.
I love you guys.
Very grateful. Then he does mention, like we figured out last week, that, yes, the Queen, one of the poems we read from Deep Cover last week, is a poem about his great-grandmother, who was a poet. She had a book of poems published way back in, like, Jimmy's days.
Wow.
You know,
they had books back then?
Yes.
I was curious about that myself.
Oh, they had stone tablets.
You know, I was thinking, is it just me or... is it just me, or are people crazy out in the world nowadays? What's this Defense of Marriage Act stuff going on out there?
I know.
He talks about a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, it's so cool about the kid that came out and got kicked out of his house and stuff, and then turned it around and created the organization to help out gay youth.
Good,
I love hearing stuff like that.
We'll have an update on the other gay teen story coming up in Roundtable.
Good.
He says he wants to send some more poetry. All of this is pretty much new stuff that I've written because the guards lost all his older ones. So he's having to start.
That is so awful.
Yeah. So he's having to start all over again building his poetry notebook. He says, thank you all for taking the time to read them, the poems, and tell them what we all think. Anyways, again, I want to thank you all for the positive work you'll do for us queers, all as a people. Mm-hmm. And on another note, Jimmy for president is my new motto, and I can't get enough of your wit.
Thank you.
Are you always so funny?
The difference,
funny looking. The funny looking, man.
The difference with Jimmy as president is, rather than being blown by the interns, Jimmy will be blowing the interns.
Yeah, that would be it.
And it'll be a stain on a pink shirt, not a black dress.
That's right.
No,
did he send some poetry?
He did, but he's got a P.S. in here, which was handwritten in.
I think that's something specific from us on that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be.
You want to leave that one for us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
we'll skip the P.S.
Okay. Can I read it?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll send it over your way.
Okay.
Here is a couple little more quick poems here that he sent. Says some more of his poetry for us. First one's entitled A Song for Me.
That's what I wanted to read.
What, the poetry?
Yeah.
You want to read it?
Yeah.
What, you don't like the way I read it?
No, I just wanted to read
it. Here, do something useful for a change in your life.
I love reading poetry.
Okay, well, here it comes over that way.
Why, thank you.
We send it by Rhino Express.
Oh. A song for me. Sitting in my cell, longing to be free, thinking of all that used to be. Through razor wire, the sky is hard to see. But I can bear the birds singing a song for me. Ah. Now, soulless bastards. Staring into the faces of my peers, broken noses, scars, and tattoo tears. Eyes of stone, no life inside. The soul has already gone. Far away it flies. You can hear it soar if you really listen, escaping this cold crypt called prison. Soulless bastard child, will you ever smile? Wow.
Yeah.
That's strong. Precious jewels. Kissing my father's cheek as a tear rushes down his face. I'll always remember that salty taste, like a bittersweet memory of a past day, smelling of sweet summer hay. Like back when I was 12 or maybe 13, I remember the fun of chasing the trucks selling ice cream, and warm nights spent on the porch with my brothers in July, watching glow bugs light up the dark sky. These are the precious jewels kept in my mind, the priceless ones that always sparkle and shine.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that sweet?
I like that one.
Yes, that's beautiful. Singing of memories. Like a bird with a clipped wing, alone in my cage I sing about old days gone by so fast, and how the good times never seem to last. About how I miss the wet kiss of a cool rain in hot July, and see pictures the clouds make in the skies, and with all my heart, I hope the song never ends, because most of all, I'd miss the memory of old friends. That's it.
All right.
Wow. Those were nice.
Yeah, well.
Short, yeah, but
very short and very nice.
Poignant.
Yeah. So, again, a deep cover. Thank you for the poems.
You bet. We thank appreciate you so those. Much.
Continue to send us more. We love to read
you
them.
You bet.
So, real quick here, we got a letter from an old-time writer of ours.
Oh?
Good old Rock Hard Williams.
Oh, yeah.
It says, after our screw. And I want to make this quick since we're running out of time here.
We are?
Yeah, I got a couple.
Just minutes. Top of the hour stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, top of the hour stuff, yeah. Yes.
Hey, how are all of y'all? Hopefully well. As for myself, I can't complain. Well, at least not too much. Finally, after 4 years, I'm able to hear y'all again. I think the last show I caught was in 06.
Wow.
I was on the Eastern Unit in Lovelady, Texas, but went home. Instead of staying home and streaming online, I came back to prison just to catch the show.
Oh, man.
I'm joking, obviously.
Oh.
Well, that's what he says in his letter. But he is in prison. Anyway, I doubt any of y'all remember me, but my name is Rockhard Williams.
Oh, yeah.
I wrote y'all a time or two back in 05, 06.
Mm-hmm.
I was channel surfing last night and came across the show and couldn't believe it.
Yeah, we're still here.
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to catch all of it before the station faded, but I did hear Wes read the letters, and thankfully I was able to catch the address too.
Ah.
But you can bet your sweet ass next Saturday I'll try to catch the show again and every Saturday thereafter.
Well, thank you for that, for thinking my ass is sweet.
If not too much trouble, I heard y'all mention pen pals. I know y'all are probably swamped with a request, but I'm forever grateful if y'all could squeeze me in somewhere, no pun intended. So I'm not out of the closet, but what the hell, no time like the present, right? Last time I wrote Smiley had just gotten out.
Wow.
I caught a couple of the shows where he was at the station.
Uh-huh.
Whatever became of him? Is he still out? If y'all see or speak to him, please tell him I say hello.
The last I heard from him, he ran off to the suburbs with his boyfriend.
Yeah.
Come on. You got to get those spam emails from him about automatic locking doors.
Yeah.
I know I get them.
No, I don't.
And a quick wrap-up here. Anyway, just wanted to say hi and thanks for the show. And if anyone wants to write me, I'd appreciate mail or more. Oh, and I also heard y'all mention gay pride pics. Is there any way we can get a copy of those?
Yeah, we got to talk to our photographer on that.
Yep.
You can get in touch with us for MBBs, or if you want to be a pen pal to one of the MBBs, you can contact us at After Hours, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard.
Love, TT.
I was going to do the floor.
Oh, okay.
Houston, Texas, 77006.
Yeah.
We'll be glad to be a middleman for you if you don't want your address to go out to the MBBs. We understand that. Send us the letter in an envelope with your envelope inside that you want to forward on, and we'll forward it on with the station's address on that.
Sure.
And play middleman for you.
We will.
Or if you want to send it to afterhours@kpft.org, we'll print it out and send it to the MBBs as well.
Yes.
So. All right, time for a little PSA. We'll put this in your ear, and we'll be right back with some roundtable.
The 4th annual Christmas in July will be held Saturday, July 24th at Bricker Street Park, 8000 Rock Rose Street, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Sponsored by the End Time Movement, FMBC, and KPFT, the event is a positive summer concert to motivate youth in this area. Organizers will give away free school supplies to all kids in attendance. Again, the 4th annual Christmas in July will be held Saturday, July 24th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Bricker Street Park, 8000 Rock Rose Street. For more info or to donate school supplies, call Curtis Green at 832-785-0398 or email acommunityaffair@hotmail.com. This is KPFT Houston, Texas. On Saturday, July 24th, the 40th anniversary of the assassination of Carl Bernard Hampton will be commemorated at Historic Emancipation Park, 3018 Dowling Street, Houston, Texas. The commemoration will include speakers, entertainment, food, and a community service.
The commemoration is free and open to the public. National guests include Professor Kathleen Cleaver, Senior Lecturer and Research Fellow, Emory University School of Law, former member Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, and the first female member Black Panther Party Central Committee, Emory Douglas, former Minister of Culture Black Panther Party, and others. Carl Hampton, a dynamic young Black Panther leader and chairman of Houston's People's Party, too, was assassinated by the Houston Police Department on July 26, 1970. For a complete list of events, including the upcoming Angola 3 play July 23rd at Shape Center, a Black Panther Party art exhibit July 22nd at Project Row Houses, and more, visit carllives.com. This is KPFT Houston.
I was swallowing.
like that's a problem for you?
I thought I had more time. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Woohoo!
Congratulations.
There we go.
Join us on Facebook, as 277 others already have.
Yes. Ooh. Our friends list is growing.
And some of them are people who are on the show, so you can poke around there.
Yeah.
I'm getting used to poking around. So, you know, it's weird looking at other stuff. In fact, I actually posted on over on Stage Door Inc.'s website, on their Facebook.
Really?
About being at their play. And going,
ah, okay.
Yeah. Thankfully, they got one song out of my head, but unfortunately, they pushed it out of my head by putting another song in its place.
Oh, goodness.
That's okay. Usually how that works.
Yes.
Unfortunately, is the other song any better than the one you...
Well, it's more familiar, just not in an Alice in Wonderland sense.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, they stole from Song of the South to put into Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, goodness.
The Caterpillar song, Zippity-Doo-Dah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow.
So, how did the Queen of Hearts play out?
The Queen of Hearts, very well.
Actually, we got to update that. It's not the Queen of Hearts. It's the Drag Queen of Hearts.
Yeah, I understand that.
I thought maybe either Roseanne Barr or Leah Delaria was up there. he didn't try playing it up any. It just played as it was, and the costume was over the top. Not as much as the Caterpillar. The Caterpillar kind of stole the show.
With rainbow... pajama bottoms.
It's kind of a rainbow pajama ensemble, then the wings, and it's like...
Oh. It is the Caterpillar.
Is that Jimmy farting?
No.
Well, no, you would have heard dust flying out after that.
Yeah. Well, I remembered I was looking at my phone earlier, and Mark had actually posted something about the show.
They were exhausted. They've been doing two shows a day.
Yeah.
And the last three shows, they sold out.
Yeah. He says here, the Alice set is down, finishing Jimmy Dean as he's typing. Wahoo, a huge busy day at Stage Door Inc. Wish all board members could have seen it. the theater sold out for the final three shows, and he added chairs for the final show. Yeah. Hope the kids had fun and the parents are happy. Very proud of the kids.
Just scroll down and then what I posted.
And then,
So let's start off here with Roundtable.
So,
I'm adding a new segment, I think. I've been reading these. A new category.
Ooh.
And I kind of like what I've seen on here. It's, it's going to be a little bashing on our part, but who cares?
Us bash? Come on.
Stealing this directly from Joe, my God. This week in Holy Crimes.
Oh, no.
Holy crap.
Holy.
Now, this comes out on Sundays. Sunday. It's a week late. But over the last 7 days, in Missouri, Pastor Charles Moore charged with molesting a 9-year-old girl.
Oh.
Illinois, Pastor Bill Vandergraff charged with sexual assault of a child. Ottawa, Father William Allen charged with molesting two boys. Washington, Pastor James Lee Watkins charged with forcible rape of a child. Oh. South Carolina, Pastor Dilbert Thigpen charged with lewd assault on a minor. West Virginia, Father Felix Owino charged with molesting an 11-year-old girl. Texas, Pastor Gerald Lanou charged with aggravated sexual assault of a 4-year-old girl. Florida, Pastor Kenneth Kleckner charged with attempted child molestation and a webcam sting. Back to Texas, Pastor Dean Targeton sentenced to 10 years in prison for a child porn sting. Wisconsin, Pastor Leonard Van Vinden.
Bless you.
Convicted of theft of church funds. Hey, you didn't diddle the kids. Congratulations, Pastor Leonard. Alabama, Pastor M.J. Scott Moore ordered to hand over financial records in a $1 million fraud investigation.
Oh, look, another one that didn't diddle.
Well, they're pastors, you know. They're not priests. Father Daniel McCormick of the Chicago Archdiocese sued by four people for molestation victims. And this week's winner,
dun, 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 dun,
from Wisconsin.
Wisconsin?
Father, Father Patrick Umberger has been charged with possession of child porn. Last year, Umberger was accused repeatedly of following little boys into the restroom at a water park. The water park ejected him, revoked his season pass, and placed his name on the predator watch list. But the Milwaukee Archdiocese took no action, saying they believed his claim that a prostate problem required frequent trips to the restroom.
Where he's going, he'll get plenty of help with that prostate problem.
Mm-hmm. I think he was trying to unload the prostates. What? I may keep that around. Like I said, it's interesting, you know, kind of the stuff you don't hear. But let's stay with religion.
It's nice to add a new list to after-hours
nice
list.
Another pillar on our wobbly...
Another pillar.
Especially when someone else compiles it for me.
There you go. There you go. Make it easy for you.
Yes.
Scary. Right?
Well, let's stay in religion here. Catholic, duh.
Boy,
here's three words that go together. Catholic sex scandal.
Duh.
As undercover reporter films priests at gay clubs having casual flings.
Oh, my.
Ooh.
A gay priest sex scandal. Oh, there's four words that go together. Has rocked the Catholic Church in Italy after a weekly news magazine released details of a shock investigation it carried out. Using hidden cameras, a journalist from Panorama magazine, owned by the Italian Prime Minister and media baron Silvio Berlusconi, filmed three priests as they attended gay night spots and had casual sex. Today there was no immediate comment from the Italian Bishops' Conference in the Vatican, which has been rocked by a series of sex scandals involving pedophile priests since the start of the year.
Start of the year. What year? 1980?
A little further back.
How about year 0001?
Caught in the act, here's a picture of a priest still wearing his clerical collar as approaches a gay accomplice of the undercover reporter as their casual affair is caught on camera. The priest is wearing a white vestment shirt with the collar and only underwear.
Barely underwear.
But it gets better.
Oh.
A preview of Panorama article sent out by email added the video footage when the investigation would be made available. An article describes how the reporter was assisted by a gay, quote, accomplice, unquote, as they gate-crashed the wild nights of a number of priests in Rome who were live a surprising double life. In his preview, Panorama added, by day, their regular priest, complete with dog collar. I guess that's the name for that. But at night, it's off with the cassock and take their place as perfectly integrated members of the Italian capital's gay scene.
That takes a real, you know, it takes a real pair of brass incense burners to.
Oh, my.
To still be wearing your collar when this is going on.
Why didn't you think of that joke?
In one part of the investigation, Panorama said that one priest, named as Carlo, willingly put on his cassock to have sex with a reporter's gay accomplice, adding all of it, which was filmed by a hidden camera. In the preview, it says that it had carried out thorough checks and established that all three priests were bona fide and would not reveal their real names or any other details.
Bona fide.
Yeah, there was an article.
We got two bones in this one.
Yeah, apparently.
There's another article I read that one of the priests had the hookup, went, officiated over mass, and then took the guys to the airport so they can go home.
Wow.
Now that is community service.
There you go.
That is showing your love for your fellow man in more ways than one.
I wonder what the average ages of these priests are, because, you know, I'm just sort of wondering if, you know, they keep relics, or, you know, the church is so fond of relics.
Yeah, I know. There's a few of them at the university I went to.
I don't know. I think we've gotten a little attention.
We don't take phone calls during roundtable.
Send us an email.
Yeah, send us
on
a
Facebook.
Oh, you like this picture?
Well, I don't like it with the green on there, but yeah.
From England, conservatives filmed racy advert featuring naked gay couple coming out as Tories. The Sunday Times has disclosed that the Conservative Party filmed a pre-election cinema advertisement that portrayed a gay couple in a shower coming out as conservative among racy series with references to pornography and teenage pregnancy, but were never shown.
I wonder why.
The newspaper claims the advertisement cost about £100,000 to make, while others say it cost between £300,000 to £500,000. The films were produced by an advertising agency reportedly included one particularly aimed at the gay community. It showed two, quote, good-looking, unquote, young men in a sports changing room shower. I keep forgetting how to change it to American English for you people. A locker room shower. One says, "It feels so right. I'm going to tell everyone," according to the Sun Times. Then the other puts a hand on his friend's mouth as part of an embrace and replies, "I think I am too." Then the camera pans around to reveal the two men's teammates looking on in horror. Then a "Vote Conservative" slogan is then revealed. The advertisement is said to be one linked to a series of "I Never Voted Tory Before" billboard campaigns that were criticized for being rather bland and mimicked with spoofs across the internet.
I wonder what the, different countries use words differently, so I wonder if a conservative in England is the same as a conservative here, really.
The Tories and conservatives are considered like our Republicans.
Okay.
Just with a stiffer upper lip.
That's because they don't have their head up there.
I will drink my tea.
They don't have a
rectal inversion. Here's some of the other proposed ads that they had on there. Another advertisement was abandoned with an Asian teenage boy appearing to be furtively looking at pornography. Then it's revealed it's Conservative Party literature. His mother expresses horror at the discovery and asks her husband what the neighbors would think. A third one makes reference to teenage pregnancy with a girl confessing to her parents that "I'm 3 months conservative." Her father blames the girl's boyfriend as her conversion to the Tory cause.
My goodness.
No, that's,
they really rather have some interesting ways of doing that.
It's a hell of a lot cuter than swift boating or...
Yep.
Other such stuff.
They got creative with that, really.
Yes. Well, Chris is pulling up the next story. Please remember, during Roundtable, we do not take phone calls as we are trying to read the stories and talk to everybody.
Maybe that'll give them a clue.
All right, Chris.
If it's important enough to call us on the red phone. Is it still there?
Yeah, it's still back there.
It's still back there. Someone's
just playing with the phone cords and changed the colors.
I see.
News from the gay prom front.
Uh-oh.
Mississippi school that denied lesbian Constance McMillan from her prom.
People still name people.
Will change Constance. Discrimination policy. And pay damages.
Oh, yeah, I read this story earlier this week.
Big news from Mississippi. The Ottawamba School District, which denied lesbian student Constance McMillan the right to attend prom with her girlfriend, has agreed to update its anti-discrimination policy to include sexual orientation and gender identity, and will pay McMillan $35,000 in damages.
Well, they probably figured out they couldn't win that PR nightmare.
The Ottawa County School District officials agreed to have a judgment entered against them in the case of a recent high school graduate who sued her school for canceling prom rather than let her attend with her girlfriend. The agreement ends a precedent-setting lawsuit brought by the ACLU on behalf of 18-year-old Constance, who suffered humiliation and harassment after parents, students, and school officials executed a cruel plan to put her on a decoy prom while the rest of her classmates were at a private prom 30 miles away.
Yeah,
that didn't
humiliated work. Humiliated, harassment. Okay, she's done Ellen. She's the Grand Marshal of the New York and I think San Francisco Gay Pride Parades.
She's gotten coverage.
She's getting scholarships.
Yeah,
She got a lot of coverage out of that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, she got mileage out of that one.
So. I'm sure her school district is quite embarrassed.
Hmm.
We talked a little bit about gay games stuff here before,
mm-hmm.
and big problems coming up here with the 2014 Gay Games of Cleveland. First, there was a cheating scandal alleged by the losing host cities of Boston and D.C.
Oops.
While it's still expected the Gay Games will be held in Cleveland in 4 years, it's up for debate who will be organizing it and paying for it. Backers of Cleveland Synergy Foundation, which that took credit for securing Cleveland as the 2014 host city, a decision by the Federation of Gay Games made in September. Now, the city of Cleveland has terminated its relationship with this Cleveland Synergy and halting all payments. The very sort that Synergy showed off as proof of financial stability when convincing the Federation's board.
Hmm.
That's a far cry from when Cleveland City Council member Joe Camprion went to Cologne with Synergy to lobby the organization to bring the games to the city. Now they're trying to figure out who will be running the gay games in Cleveland. It looks like the Greater Cleveland Sports Commission may take over. Zimmerman met with the commission about the possibility, which leaves Michael Redinger, the president of Cleveland Synergy, fuming, since it's his camp that, that perhaps rightfully so, put all the work to get the gay games in the first place. Still answered, however, is the 800-pound question, what changed so drastically that the city can no longer trust the event to its original sponsors?
Hmm.
So a little bit of controversy with that.
The gay games have a long history of controversy, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. they're not the gay games without a scandal or two.
Or drama. You
know. I mean, that should be one of the events.
Before they ever get started. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's see. That's definitely for later.
Uh-oh.
This one's definitely for later, Wes.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that.
Whoa!
Wow, he did a double take there, like, wow.
Interesting story here out of New Jersey, which very, I've read this over a couple of times. I was like, I'm not 100% sure what is going on with this. Questions an officer's killing of a CEO in Newark. Returning to New Jersey for his 30th high school reunion, DeFara Gaimond had a... yeah, I know. Sometimes it writes itself.
It does. Anyhow, moving on.
Had the kind of life one would not mind describing to old friends. He was a CEO, married, father of four. But Mr. Gaimond, who was in the chess club, French club, and the Italian club, and the student coalition at Montclair High School, never made it to the party on Friday night at the Crown Plaza Meadowlands. Instead, as other members of the class of 1980 were collecting their name tags, Mr. Gaimond, known as Dean, lay dying at University Hospital in Newark, having been shot in the chest by a police officer in Branch Brook Park a few miles away.
Wow.
Here's
shot
where
that'll ruin
officer.
A night.
Well, here's where it gets weird.
Definitely put a damper in a party for you.
Really? Please remember, he's a married father of four.
We got that.
On Tuesday, the acting Essex County prosecutor gave the first detailed public description of what happened in the wooded park that night, saying that the officer had tried to arrest Mr. Gaimond, 48, over lewd behavior, fired in self-defense. The prosecutor said that Mr. Gaimond assaulted the officer, a 29-year-old member of the Essex County Sheriff's Department, tried to flee, and then when cornered, attempted to disarm the officer. Mr. Gaimond's family released a statement in part that said, we know that the police killed an innocent man with no history or disposition to violence. A man who answered the phone at the family's home said they had no more to say. A fatal shooting in Newark on a Friday night is hardly a rare occurrence, but this was neither the usual spot nor the usual suspects, leaving many questions. The officer's name was not released because of his undercover work had been on what is not usually a particularly dangerous assignment, scouring the park in northern Newark for men seeking sex. Mr. Gaimond was a successful businessman, president and chief executive officer of Credit Union of Atlanta. Let's get past some of the personal there. Mr. Gaimond was one of the organizers of the reunion, which he drove up to attend. All the people that knew him said, you've never met a kinder, nicer, more gentle person, and they're stunned. The officer and his partner were patrolling the park in plain clothes, part of an operation that's been going on for years, said the prosecutor. At 6 p.m., after chasing down a man in the and arresting him, the officer realized he had lost his handcuffs in the pursuit and went back into the woods alone to retrieve them. The plainclothes officer was bending down to retrieve his handcuffs, and when he was approached by Mr. Gaimond, who was engaged in a sexual act at the time. Words were exchanged, and the prosecutor said would lead one to believe that Mr. Gaiman was propositioning the officer. The officer pulled out his badge, identified himself as a police officer, and informed Mr. Gaiman that he was under arrest. He then said Mr. Gaiman shoved the officer to the ground and ran, ignoring the police officer's demands to stop, and repeatedly threatened to kill the officer if he approached. The officer cornered Mr. Gaiman beyond a pond and tried to handcuff him, but then Mr. Gaiman resisted. Mr. Gaiman reached into his pocket and lunged after the officer in an attempt to disarm the officer. Fearing for his life, he shot him once.
So he didn't shoot him in the leg or...
Point blank in the chest.
In the chest, point blank.
And basically it's because of people... They were on a patrol for men having sex in the park, and they believe this man who drove all the way from Hotlanta to Newark...
For
his class reunion to go walk around in the woods and have sex. Mm. They got to help a volunteer at the visitor center of the parks. They often see men going into the bushes or in their cars into pairs. And on Saturday and Sunday mornings, they often find several used condoms in the parking lot. Someone said that when he was growing up, his mommy told him to stay clear of the male prostitute strolling the park. A landscaper says he's come across people having sex in the bushes, and you can see people driving while naked. They've got no shame in their game. So it's an interesting story you've got of a person who may have been on what you'd refer to as the down low, and how dangerous that act could be because the cops are shooting.
Yeah, the cops don't carry blanks.
Save that one for later. Here's one. A new book, Hollywood Babylon Strikes Again, is making the claim that the late Christopher Reeve had an affair with a gay porn star named Cal Culver, a.k.a. Casey Donovan, who starred in the legendary gay adult film The Boys in the Sand. Culver, who died of age-related illness, told an unnamed interviewer that he met Reeve when they were both auditioning for the same Broadway role in the mid-70s. In the chat, the porn star says, "Christopher was a great lover, and I think I liberated him sexually. I didn't think he was gay, but he seemed willing to try anything once. He was curious." In the book extract obtained by the Globe, Culver calls Reeve the man of my dreams and reveals the two men had a passionate affair which lasted for 2 months until the future Superman learned his partner was a gay porn star who performed under the name Casey Donovan. And he also supposedly didn't like the fact that he turned tricks. Now, quoting a dead gay porn star about a dead screen icon doesn't offer much in the way of credibility, but it doesn't make for a bad bit of fantasy. No mention of how much he really was the Man of Steel.
I was waiting for that.
I was wondering when that was going to come up.
Let's stay in the comic realm. Going on right now is Comic-Con.
In San Diego.
In San Diego. And
how long is that thing going to go?
Well, the fun little part about it is that the folks from Westboro Baptist Church decided
Mother Goddess, help me.
But wait.
There's more.
The Westboro Baptist Church brought their special brand of hate to San Diego's Comic-Con yesterday, but the God Hates Fags demonstration was drowned out by a much funnier one from a large group of Comic-Con counter-protesters. Many dressed as characters and superheroes with signs of Superman died for people's sins. God loves gay Robin. God needs a starship. And is this thing on? Were some of the original, some of the slogans on the signs meant to counter the Baptist Church's hateful message, including one of someone dressed as Bender the Robot from Futurama with a sign that says "Kill all humans."
Nice
way to do a counter protest of that. You can find some clips on YouTube of some of the protesters.
I'm so gonna look for that one.
You know,
also on Toll the Road.
You know, these guys got drowned out once before, I think, at a high school, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's some of the other signs. Have you seen my keys? God hates centuries. Odin is God.
Someone dressed up as the milkshake or whatever it is from.
Oh yeah. From Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
God, I hated that cartoon.
You and me both. And what's sad is I actually sat and watched it a couple of times.
So you're into poking yourself with a sharp stick.
I'm seeking therapy for it.
I see.
No, he's into tasing himself.
Tasing himself. In movie news,
The
folks at the Melbourne International Film Festival wouldn't be caught dead with a necrophiliac. That's why they rejected Bruce LaBruce's zombie porn art flick, L.A. Zombie, which features Francois Sagat. And a handful of other porn stars like Eddie Diaz, Wolf Hudson, Adam Clanlian, and Eric Rhodes. The film board worried that the film would, quote, breach local taste standards, unquote, which is odd considering that the film only features a blood orgy where zombies FCC each other's rot holes and gunshot wounds. There's pictures.
I have one word for you.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
You know, it gives me meaning to the phrase, crack it up in a cold one.
Outrage, LaBruce.
Oh.
That's it. You're out of here.
Outrage. LaBruce issued a statement. Here's the best part. Intriguingly, the version of L.A. Zombie that had been banned by the Australian Film Classification Board is the softcore version, which features no explicit anal penetrative sex. Although this version does contain a few brief shots of flaccid penises, the only erect member in the show belongs to an alien zombie played by the French porn star Francois Sagat, and it's a prosthetic cock, not the actor's own. The hardcore version, L.A. Zombie Hardcore, will be released and distributed separately on Halloween after the softcore version plays for several months on the International Film Festival circuit. L.A. Zombie is about an alien zombie who emerges from the ocean and proceeds to find dead bodies in Los Angeles, which he has sex with in order to bring them back to life. Not as zombies, but as true resurrections.
Oh, my.
Emphasis on erections.
Yeah. Although, I was going to say resurrections or erections.
Although apparently the Australian Classification Board has no problem passing all manner of mainstream torture porn movies, which feature, amongst other things, the rape and dismemberment of women, it's interesting they have no stomach for a movie that reaffirms life. The alien zombie may or may not be a homeless schizophrenic, so the film also serves as a kind of a document of the epidemic of homelessness that currently ravages the city. Boy, he dug deep for this.
Didn't he?
Really?
Censorship of any form should not be tolerated, but to ban a film that one programmer at a major festival has called a masterpiece of melancholy is truly beyond the pale.
He's making a silk purse out of a zombie sow's ear.
Queer Click mentioned that we posted pictures of the film back when it was still filming, and while Queer Click totally supports gay zombies and thinks that the film festivals are supposed to embrace art and push the envelope. Well, there's no telling how good the actual film is. Bruce LaBruce isn't exactly known for good direction, great acting, or high production value. So while it's possible that Melbourne
like
may
that,
have...
I wouldn't think so.
Must have guy so nice they named him twice. may have rejected L.A. Zombie for its gunshot wound sex. They might have just rejected it just for being a bad movie. Either way, we'll watch it as soon as we can and report back to you. Speaking of gay zombies.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Shut up, virgin.
Lock up your pets and hide your children.
Y'all know y'all love me.
We don't take
the
phone calls.
Stop the death.
He's dead and hopefully soon, yes.
Love you like a damn toothache.
It's Heatmiser's illegitimate love child.
Let's get back into a little more serious stuff. A female graduate... just say I need to...
We're not taking
what is whistle?
Calls.
Stop calling.
I think you just hit the... I think you can hit that button on the left and they'll just take care of it all.
Yeah. A female graduate student of Augusta State University... No. A female... take two!
Try again.
Once more time. With
a female graduate student of Augusta State University is suing the school because... She claims the public institution violated her First Amendment rights by forcing her to accept homosexuality in order to graduate from her program as a counselor education. Jennifer Keaton, a Christian who believes that being gay is a choice, she thinks gays suffer from identity confusion, is represented by the Alliance Defense Fund, a Christian legal defense organization.
Yeah, I'm confused. I'm confused about your identity.
At the end of her...
She looking like a man? Yeah.
At the end of her, the first year, she was presented with a remediation plan or courses to improve in certain areas. That plan included classes to improve writing and grammar skills, as well as workshops to make her more sensitive to the gay population, something her instructors say is necessary for her to be an effective counselor. The school counseling faculty has decided that my views are not acceptable for me or to share with other students, she said in a video statement produced by the ADF. They've required a remediation plan in which in the end result would mean altering my beliefs or being dismissed from the program. In a letter to Keaton, program director said that's not the case. In the letter, associate director points to what she called Keaton's belief that you possess a special knowledge about the way other people should live their lives and that others need to adopt a similar set of values. The letter goes on to say that the content of Keaton's moral or religious belief is not in question. According to the remediation plan, program directors are concerned about Keaton's ability to effectively counsel people who are gay or lesbian, citing class papers and comments where Keaton disagreed with the gay, quote, lifestyle. The letter also cites an email from Keaton where she says, "My Christian moral views are not just about me. I think the Bible's teaching is true for all people, and it shows the right way to live."
The Bible?
Yeah,
what a Bible?
Thankfully, there are billions of people on the planet who don't share your your obsessive religious.
Oh, I mean, Bible, that thing I use as a coaster.
Yeah, you're supposed to be a counselor.
Paper.
Hey.
And you know, the
toilet paper.
Stop.
You know, you're supposed to be counseling people, and the American Psychiatric Association has removed homosexuality as a disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You need to choose another field, or you're just going to have to work in...
If you can't live within the limits of the field you want to go into... Can.
I don't know. Did she get the memo that the Dark Ages are over?
Apparently not.
No, because she didn't get the memo of saying you don't bleach your hair that blonde.
Oh, my God.
This is a story I've been kind of keeping an eye on here in Houston.
I guess.
That... been very intriguing. Last month, a firefighter in Wharton was killed in the line of duty.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife is now being sued by his parents and his ex-wife on the grounds that she should not receive anything due to the fact that she may or may not be transgendered. They are saying the fact that they have been legally married, but I thought this was wrong, Jimmy.
Yes.
I thought you could change gender here in the state of Texas.
No. I don't know if it's still effective, but in the Austin area, the legislature there passed a ruling that you had to be married, one person has to be an XX and one person has to be an XY, which is how a transgendered woman married another woman.
Okay.
And that was the legal marriage.
So yeah,
but it's not for all of Texas, and it was during a certain time period, and I don't know if...
Because I remember we went to the wedding.
Yeah, I don't know if they've closed that loophole.
So, now here's the bad part. Yeah,
if this transgendered woman has had her name and gender legally changed to female, then I don't see what the problem is.
Well, that's the thing they're saying is you can't make that change...
Yes,
in
actually,
Texas,
you can.
I thought that you couldn't go and get because of those taken care of here in Texas. I mean, from the talk we've had on the transgendered here, the wife, the widow, has secured Phyllis Fry and her law firm.
Good.
To do on this.
That's the perfect one to do it.
Yeah, there you go.
The what the argument is the fact is that she was transgendered and her husband didn't know she was transgendered. And since you, allegedly, according to them, you can't change gender, they're both male and then it's a same-sex marriage, so that marriage should be voided and remove her from receiving her share of
benefits.
My understanding is that she didn't disclose her transgender, that she was transgender, until earlier this year.
Did her husband know?
He was well aware of it, from my understanding.
There's a couple different arguments. That, you know, he didn't know when they got married, but he did know, and they recently separated. But she said, no, we weren't separated.
Looks like that's about to get even more complicated.
Separated does not mean divorced.
No, it does not.
But, you know, so what they're arguing, the fact is, because technically they're both male, they're not married, and so that way the ex-wife would be able to get the current wife's share of the inheritance.
There's now, also the issue of the doing the gender testing, and my understanding is that that's been pretty much phased out everywhere else but Texas.
Yeah. But the interesting part is that you've got
the genetic testing.
The parents and the ex-wife are claiming they're doing it for the two children from previous marriage, but they already were going to get that share,
right?
You know. So they're just, you know, it's starting to get more attention nationally on this. But right now the most recent thing is the judge who, they've already started court proceedings on this. It's going, you know, it seems to be getting fast-tracked. A judge has put a restraining order on the money, so it will not be going anywhere.
Well, you know, anytime money's involved.
I have a feeling this case could set a lot of precedent here.
You're right.
Texas. Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime money is involved, it's amazing how those left behind.
All of a sudden, all these relatives, and you don't know quite where they came from.
Yeah.
Oh, two big names in this Chronicle article I was reading: Phyllis Randall Fry and Kristen Williams is in there.
Hmm.
Very taken note. I think it's one of those articles that's kind of gotten some or a little attention. You know, when I first heard about this story, I thought it was, you know, it was a story about Jimmy cleaning out at Stanley's closets.
What?
But it's not.
That got Jimmy's attention.
Oh, hello.
It's justified. It's ancient. Scientists discover a very old dildo.
How old is it?
Older than you, Jimmy.
It's about the same age. They grew up in a stone age.
I just hope they boiled it in something. Archaeologists in Sweden, coincidentally home of the Swedish massage, Swedish fish, and the Swedish chef, have discovered a suspiciously boner-like object carved out of an antler.
Boner!
Which they suspect to be the world's mustiest known dildo. But don't get too excited, boys. All reports claim that the faux phallus measures in at a wimpy 4 inches.
Oh. You're just poking fun then.
See picture. Actually,
That must have been a
That looks like bigger than 4 inches.
That's the smallest 4-inch ruler I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, that ruler is cut off at 5 inches, and that...
That's got to be 8 inches. At
least. That's got another couple inches on it.
Leave it up to Jimmy to eyeball something and figure out how long it is.
Naturally, the archaeologists are loath to jump to conclusions, pointing that no one can know for sure if the item was ever used in the pursuit of sweaty caveman pleasure. Kristan Gruber of the National Heritage Board in Sweden sensibly points out that the non-business end could have also been used to chip flakes of flint.
Sure.
Of course, that it seems beside the point, because it was actually intended for one thing. If anyone's ever tended a vegetable garden knows that if there's even a penis-like shaped object to be found, there's surely someone willing to stick it up himself. Mark my words, whether or not this ancient artifact was purchased at ye olde sex shop, it surely has seen the inside of a man's butt. Final couple of stories here, and we're running quickly. I thought I had a lot of stories here, but...
Well, here, let me interject this, because I was asked.
Yeah. Do we need to stretch?
Hi, Chase. I know you're home.
From GLAAD, the Gay Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, I think that's what the hell it stands for.
Something like that.
They've released the Network Responsibility Index 2009-2010. The fourth annual GLAAD Network Responsibility Index is the evaluation of quantity, quality, and diversity of images of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people on television. It is intended to serve as a roadmap towards increasing fair, accurate, inclusive LGBT media representation. primetime programming on five broadcast networks, ABC, CBS, the CW, are they still around? Fox, yes. And NBC, was evaluated as well as 10 highly rated cable networks, A&E, ABC Family, FX, HBO, Lifetime, MTV, Showtime, TBS, TNT, and USA. Based on the analysis, a grade was assigned to each network, excellent, good, adequate, or failing. The key findings are this. This year, MTV became the first network, cable or broadcast, to receive an excellent rating in this report due to the quality and diversity of many of its LGBT impressions. Of the 10 networks evaluated, MTV posted the largest increase and ranked the highest for LGBT-inclusive original content. Mm-hmm. A total of 207.5 total hours of original primetime programming.
Yeah, the real
way
real
to go,
world,
MTV.
The real world usually has a gay or lesbian character,
and some of their game show type things.
The game shows, and also
the True Life,
and stuff. It's all over the place.
There was another. I thought I had posted the link to get to it. There was another website was saying, you know, MTV gets this excellent rating, but they still are okay with dropping the word faggot on some of their programming. Hmm. Right now, like, they have a homophobic guy on The Real World.
I was going to say, are they talking about cigarettes?
No. they've got an openly gay character on The Real World who, oh my God, wants to have sex. And the one guy there who's knocked boots with a couple different women on the show is offended that he would have that there would be gay sex in the... Then they also say that, you know, they're wondering how many episodes it will be before he knocks boots with the gay man.
Yeah. I'm sorry. If you're going to sit there and knock... if you're going to sit there and knock boots with any female you can get your hands on, then the gay guy in the room ought to get the same...
Yeah.
Get the same 50 cents.
Get the same 50 cents and get over it, you know, and he needs to...
So of their 42% of their hours included LGBT impressions. Since the first time since GLAAD began the index, ABC did not lead the broadcast networks in a percentage of LGBT inclusive. However, ABC did lead the broadcast hours in total hours of its 1,147 total hours of primetime programming. 26% included impressions.
So where did Fox stand, you know, since they had GLAAD?
We haven't made it that far yet.
Yeah, it's coming up. After 3 years in second place, the CW is now the top broadcast network in the report with 35% of LGBT-inclusive hours out of its 570 total hours of original programming. It's the highest percentage ever recorded by a broadcast network since the report's inception, although it should be noted the CW airs less total programming hours than other stations do in a day.
Yes, their primetime programming ends at 9 p.m. instead of 10 p.m. like the other networks.
And it's not every day, is it?
No, it's only during
Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday, they're broadcasting.
For the first time since GLAAD began the report, all five major broadcasts posted an increase in LGBT inclusive programming. However, the CBS continues to lag behind its competitors, once again earning a failing grade. In addition to MTV's groundbreaking excellence rating, five networks, ABC Family, HBO, Lifetime, Showtime, and TNT, received good ratings, marking the first time that the majority of the cable networks received higher than adequate. TBS at 2%, A&E at 3%, once again ranked at the bottom amongst cable networks, and were joined by USA at 4%, receiving failing ratings from GLAAD for their lack of LGBT-inclusive original programming.
Well, didn't A&E used to stand for arts and entertainment?
Yes. Yeah.
But see, a lot of the programming...
Why is it now like the Law and Order episode?
Yeah, that's on...
Well, that's TNT as well.
TNT.
Yeah, they're all
and
over
USA.
The and USA.
On A&E, it's CSI, and they have a lot of reality programming, too.
Supposedly they consider
James
it...
James Simmons' Family Jewels.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't see his son's Family Jewels.
Yeah.
Me too.
There's a picture somewhere on the internet.
That's what Gene Simmons might have looked like when he was 20.
Or hard to tell underneath all that makeup.
Yeah.
Which one do we go to?
Start with the first one.
Start this one? Oh, okay.
Save the other one for the surprise ending.
Oh, boy.
It's now time, ladies and gentlemen, as we started the show with one of our pillars, hypocrisy, with religion. It's time now to bring you one of our favorites.
Bestiality.
It's time for the for two, for the price of one.
For the price.
Stories of bestiality. Thanks for the funny story.
Virgin.
Now, the funny story is, you know, I've had this other air. My coworker was at work. She was out handing out flyers and brochures trying to get from some business. She got bit by a dog, so I had to make the joke to her. Go, you know, I cover bestiality stories on the show quite often. This is the first time I actually get to meet someone who was involved in having a bestiality experience with, you know, a dog biting her in the ass.
Oh, it is a dog-eat-dog world out there, isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, I told
That's it. You're done.
I told her, you know, I felt her sympathy. You know, there's sometimes I come into work and I get my ass chewed off by a bitch.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
A couple more jokes led to her hitting me with a ream of paper.
Oh, you got ream?
Yeah. Didn't think of it that way. I made a mistake when I tried editing it there. It's not Aventura. It's Aventura. The city name is Aventura.
Aventura.
Aventura from Florida. Because it's from the Palm Beach Post. An Aventura man was arrested Friday after having charged with having sex with his dog, a Great Dane named Christy Brinkley. Armand M. Pachur, 64, a former insurance executive, was booked into the Miami-Dade jail on charge of animal cruelty, a third-degree felony punishable by up to 5 years in prison.
Doing it doggy style with a doggy. Hey.
No.
I wonder...
Wait, there's more.
There's more.
He was the one taking the doggy, right?
Apparently. Patrick's veterinarian in Gainesville reported him to police after an office worker called him to reschedule eye surgery for the 2.5-year-old dog. And Patrick talked about sex, according to an arrest warrant. She doesn't seem to enjoy it as much when we have sex. Maybe it's because I haven't been as energetic lately, and that's why she's not enjoying it. He allegedly told the staffer when she asked about the dog's health, the arrest warrant said.
Oh, man.
Later at the clinic, a veterinarian concluded that the spayed dog's body had evidence of forced sexual activity, the warrant said. The doctor said evidence could not have come from another dog, the warrant said. Patrick's attorney, Jeffrey Weiner. said his client denies making the comment and the allegation. He said the employee misunderstood a wisecrack. I'm quite familiar with the evidence that exists, and I'm really disappointed the Aventura police would make an arrest based on unsupported evidence and conclusions. Weiner said, I expect my client will be fully vindicated.
Oh, my. Docs and typo joke,
anybody? Anybody want to reach for this one?
You see the typo?
Or?
Well, yeah, the words can be Weiner. Yeah. Oh, for some reason, they're not accepting comments on this article.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Go figure on that one.
I'm amazed.
Oh, Dad.
Now, can you imagine what it's like if that's what I chose for the first bestiality story?
Yeah. Yeah. This is about to go downhill fast.
We need to go to England.
What is this handbasket and why are we in it?
And why are we in it? Exactly.
Bip, bip, chill.
From the UK Telegraph. Transvestite had sex with dog at English Heritage Castle. A cross-dressing man was caught with the animal in the dry moat of King Henry VIII's Pendennis Castle, overlooking Falmouth Bay in Cornwall. The 31-year-old mounted...
You said Cornwall?
Cornwall, not Cornhole.
Cornwall, not Cornhole. Okay.
The 31-year-old mounted the pet after it chased him out of sight of its woman's owner. The owner had been walking around the ancient castle with a friend when the pair spotted the lone transvestite on the morning of Saturday, July the 10th, at around 11:45. He was wearing a black dress, walking amongst the steep-walled empty moat. As the two ladies spotted the cross-dresser, he ran away. Later, one of the dogs chased after the man. By the time the woman had caught up, the man was having sex with a pet. Castle staff then restrained the man while the police were called.
Oh, my
God.
You know, that really, this story is just really giving a whole new meaning to the phrase mad dogs and Englishmen. Okay. Moving on.
Pendennis Castle, managed by the English Heritage, is a popular family tourist attraction was heaving with visitors in the high season.
He said heaving.
He was escorted home and later made a full and frank confession and received a caution for outraging public decency. A police spokesman said other agencies were liaison with him and he was handed over to them. A spokesman for the English Heritage said it was a very rare incident.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Sure.
Oh,
wow. That's...
So,
it's obvious and it's
Virgin,
like,
why are you running around with a dress again? And England?
I thought that was a red dress he had.
This time it was black. He painted the red one black.
I'm pretty sure English sheepdogs aren't red. But okay.
Yeah, no information on what type of dog it was. You know. Maybe it was a laddie.
Maybe.
Oh. Boy, those stories had more really... their bark was worse than their bite.
But now we have more time to fill. I had a huge list and I really thought I was going to...
So what happened to
your
list?
Well, you were short just a couple of minutes.
Huh?
What happened to the list?
I went through all the stories.
Oh.
That's because we didn't interrupt them every 5 seconds nearly as much as we usually do.
I think you're all looking at some of the stuff going, oh my
tangents
God.
Tangents left and right, you know.
Yeah, we're in Amtrak as much.
Yeah.
The
phrase mad dogs and Englishmen, that, by the way, just for the record, that's the second time today that phrase has come out of my mouth having to do with something during the course of this day. I had to go to a memorial this morning for an English woman.
Oh my gosh.
At the Council of Magical Arts. And I told them, you know, with a twist on that phrase, she was more like a mad English woman. She was fabulous. She was nuts, but she was kind of wacky.
Oh, Buffy the Vampire Slayer is having a brand new version of soda coming out.
Why?
Buffy's blue bubblegum flavored soda from June Soda.
Lovely. Been there, done that. I mean, blue bubblegum soda has been done before.
The American Family Association, those lovely, wonderful people,
are asking
people to boycott and protest Home Depot
for
their assistance in helping in gay pride parades and especially indoctrinating children by having kid zones where they can work on projects. Apparently, it's learning faux painting and track lighting.
Oh, heaven forbid.
Well, I mean, that's fine. Ooh. As long as there's not a, you know, butch woman in a flannel shirt there, I guess.
Darlings, faux painting and track lighting went the way of the dodo.
That's the gay, stuff. The gay men stuff. Continuing around the country, but not coming to the Houston area. Unfortunately, the defense of marriage people are going around in a tour bus. Speaking to tens of people at their various events.
Tens of them, huh?
Tens of them, yeah.
Got whopping numbers going on there.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. And there's some lovely stories coming out of that, but one where a group of gay marriage supporters showed up and were, I guess, kind of stealing an idea from the Angels of Wyoming. Came out with rainbow-colored umbrellas and stood between the speaker and the audience members. One was the poor woman who was breastfeeding her children in the park and, you know, had to explain why these people were standing between her and the speakers. That they were, you know, another gay activist had rushed the podium and tried to shout out the speaker. One of the fair ones I saw is they were going to arrest a guy who was videotaping it.
Oh my.
That he got too close and was videotaping as a report, and they were going to arrest him because they had a permit to be in that area and they didn't want him to be there.
You know, the fastest way to get some people really interested in a topic is call for a boycott.
Did it.
that's another story that a church in Kentucky, I remember, was attacked recently, a Catholic church, with a lot of gay slurs and markers on statues and all that. And the horrified part of the story they had to include, the biggest defilement they did is one of the people who came and broke into the church. The only thing they did in the actual sanctuary is they peed in the holy water fountain.
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh.
So they had...
That's know nasty. People have done a whole lot had, worse things holy piss? In a sanctuary.
So played the golden shower.
Okay. I think they caught on first there. But like I said, it's so strange. They marked up and put a lot of gay slurs mm-hmm. on the statues outside.
Mm-hmm.
Broke the hands off of a Virgin Mary statue. Ooh. And then once they got into the church, all they did was pee in the water, in the holy water.
So now they have a blessed bladder?
They could have taken a crap in there.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know they. Okay, if Saint Blaise is, if you bless throats on Saint Blaise Day, I wonder how you use that kind of water. Kind of blessing?
It's kind of like the joke about the three nuns that went in to confess their sins.
Uh-huh.
And the one, you know. One nun says, I touched a man's penis, and the nun says, his father says, go out and wash your hands in the holy water. And the second nun went in, she had her thing, and she came out saying that she had to someone came out, and the third one went in, and she told her sin, and said, came out, and said, the second sister said, can you wait a second? I got to gargle first. I know you got a douche.
Ooh.
I kind of ruined the joke, but you get the punchline on
it. Yeah. Good night, kids.
Yeah, I'm not finding many
other little stories.
Shall we wrap this horse show up?
Yes, you've been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude here on listener sponsored commercial free Pacific area for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston. You can find us on Facebook. You can send us information, stories, links, and all that. You can send us an email at afterhourscareofkpft.org. You can also send us snail mail at afterhourscareofkpft, 419 Lovett Boulevard.
Lovett. Lovett.
Houston, Texas, 77006.
Nah, just a zip code, but a life.
And we love hearing from you of possible news stories you've got, love mail, hate mail.
Dirty pictures!
And that's the best way to contact us rather than
trying
to call us during the damn show, people.
Yeah, please. Because we can't answer the phone during the show, sorry.
Well, I answered enough to hang up on them. Emails after hours at kpft.org. Go to Facebook. Become a friend, as 277 others have.
Ooh.
And you can talk to us on Facebook, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was actually chatting with one of our crew members.
Oh, cool.
One of the people that's usually here who wasn't here. I was chatting on Facebook.
Don't you just feel special now?
I do. Top of the hour is Zydeco Pasa LA, followed by the Red Eyes Special. For more information on the shows and program you can find here on KPFT, go to kpft.org. You also got a little thing here if you want to donate to us. You can click on the tip jar.
Yes.
And a couple of weeks from now, we will be doing our pledge drive.
Oh, ready?
It is.
Yep, we got to look at some of the stuff and see what... I was looking at some of the premiums that we can offer. Special
yes.
for us. A couple of interesting ones.
Ooh, good.
Because we're partnering with the Pacifica Radio Archive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting seeing some of the gay programming that's in there.
Oh, really?
In fact, there's one of your predecessor.
Buddy Johnston?
Buddy Johnston has a thing in there about gay cops.
Ah, yes. He interviewed a gay cop.
And a couple of other stuff in there. I was looking at some of the news reports they had of homosexuals before Stonewall.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
So we got to look through that list and see what we can find. And
okay.
Offer those out as premium. So
sure.
Keep an ear out for us here on KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM. Time now for your PSAs.
Nepal is a small, landlocked country where communist revolution is changing everything. People are rising up against kings, castes, and imperialism. Women are rising to lead. The revolution is spreading into surrounding India. In May and June of 2010, Eric Rebelarsi traveled to Nepal to report on these events. Join the Fire Collective of Houston for a presentation entitled The Mountains Tremble, a report back from the revolution in Nepal, on Monday, August 2nd at 7:30 p.m. at the Houston Institute for Culture at 708C Telephone Road.
Eric Rebelarsi's presentation will tell the story of this revolution, the current situation in Nepal, and feature video and photography from his journey. Again, that event happens Monday, August 2nd at 7:30 p.m. at the Houston Institute for Culture at 708 C Telephone Road. For more information, visit www.thefirecollective.org. This is KPFT Houston. At a time when conversation and understanding are so urgently needed, more than 30 Muslim women of